following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Just another commercial, but you're going to want to listen to this one because I met the AIS guys. They actually came over to my other shop, Mark and Susan. They're nice. They liked my cars. I said, good, insure them, please. So you want to, they sell car insurance, but it's done with a little bit of a twist. They do a smart quote technology, compares the rates and coverages of lots of insurance companies. Then you pick your price. Doesn't get any simpler than that. AIS saves its customers an average of $640 when you switch. Insurance rates are rising fast. You have to compare to save. Best ways to let AIS do the shopping for you. So why not? Give them a call at 800-777-4AIS. Or you just go online at AISinsurance.com/Adam and say hi to Mark and Susan for me.
Welcome to Corolla Classics for September 21st, 2019. A show where we're going to highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. Oh, yes. My name is Chris Loxamon, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me is Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. It's very early.
It's so early. Sorry, Gio. I'm in Kentucky with Adam right now. He's going down the
bourbon trail. It's a likely story.
I know. I've been working on that alibi for a while. I thought it'd work.
I slept for 41 minutes. That's some great clips for you guys today.
Yeah, trust me. It'll be so worth it, at least for everybody listening.
Sorry, Gio.
let's get going with some clips. A lot of people have been loving the radio show clips that we've been playing, so why don't we kick things off with one of those?
Yeah, this is quite the epic clip. This was discovered by a different fan. It's really interesting because I've heard this episode several times, but I didn't do a re-listen to the morning show after Donald Trump's candidacy, let alone presidency. So I wouldn't have known to look for this clip, but some other fan was listening in real time as that was happening and heard this and alerted everybody. And we quickly found it. They actually ended up doing a bunch of articles online about it even. Teresa tweeted about it. It was a big deal. Like, it actually it made, like, the HuffPo, I think. Like, everybody, like, had some comment about this clip. So we're just going to play it as is, and we'll comment about what actually happens in it after we play it. Check it out. This is Adam Carolla Show, KLSX, March 3rd, 2008.
What's that manatee doing so close there? Come on! Come on, fellas. Just give it a blast. That's all I'd want to do. I just want to get in the Navy and work that. Just anyone within the sound of my voice, check out that failing system. It is unbelievable. All right, go ahead, T.
One woman had some trouble with the library. Her name's Keely Givon. Mm-hmm. She lives in a small town in Wisconsin. Mm. She checked out some books from the local public library, and after a few weeks, she forgot to return them.
Mm.
Very common.
Mm-hmm.
The library sent 3 overdue book notices to remind Keely to return her books.
Mm-hmm.
But since she had moved to a new house, she never got any of those overdue book notices. After the 3rd notice and still no response, the library sent a citation telling Keely she would have to go to court to settle the matter. But again, she did not get it. So after missing court appearances in March, April, and June of last year, a warrant was issued for her arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Last November, Keely was pulled over for having a burned out light bulb over her license plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a fix-it ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So the officer, you know, ran her name, noticed she had a warrant out. She was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Keely says her family couldn't pay her fines, which included $159 for the library books, $172 in court fees. So as a punishment, she spent 6 days in jail.
Where was this?
Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yeah, southeast of Milwaukee near the Illinois border.
Hmm. Let me say this very quickly about the police, evidently in Wisconsin as well, and now all over the country. I had my car destroyed once. It was parked out front of my apartment, and a super drunk guy in a Ford F-150 hit the car and basically totaled my car out. We then went in and settled up through the court, and it turned out he gave me sort of medium blue book on it. You know, high blue book, $4,500. It was old Toyota. Low blue book, $35. I think we settled for $4,000. I spoke to the court system, and I said, so how's this work? He pays you, and then you pay me, or he pays me. I mean, how do we enforce this? And they said, well, he'll pay us, and then we'll you can get it from us. And I said, all right. So he sends them a check. At a certain point, 6 months in or a year in, I said, how much has he paid me? And they say, we don't know. And I said, why don't you know? We have no way of keeping track of that. No way of keeping track of that. You see, yet somebody owes the library $8 from 5 years ago, and in the squad car, the guy pulls up the cruiser. Now, he didn't get pulled over by a librarian. He got pulled over by a cop, right?
Right.
And what's the cop do? Runs the plates, tick, 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 bing. You owe us money. The technology that this country uses in the you owe us money department versus we owe you money or they go from MIT. They go from like Asian guys who go to MIT who were raised on some Abacus Island to chimpanzees swinging a Nerf bat into the air raised in retard volcano. Do you understand the difference in efficiency between when they want your money versus when they're supposed to collect, tabulate, and make sure you've gotten paid off? Me getting paid off? That's a big fat zero. No possible human way of ever calculating those numbers. One would argue much easier than the achievement by the Wisconsin trooper who figured out in the computer that this guy owed money or this gal owed money to the library. That's all I want you people to know. Every time you think the government's incompetent, anytime you think they can't get anything right or they don't know what they're doing, think about their fundraising and then realize just how good they are. You know what they're like? They're like that student who's really smart and does really well in certain classes and then just claims he can't do well in history or whatever. As the teacher, you know he's not applying himself.
Right.
They don't apply themselves when it comes to synchronizing signals, when it comes to solving traffic problems, when it comes to solving social ills. They're not synchronized. When it comes to collecting money, they are amongst the most efficient people on the planet.
You want to apply Gatling gun to them?
Yes. Thank you. Is that my failing system?
This is the very heavily reverbed Gatling gun.
Thank you. Yeah. Nice job, bald bro.
It's also this one.
Nice, but a little too tinny.
Yeah.
A little too poppy for me.
Sure.
This thing sounds like cards in the biggest bicycle in the spokes you've ever heard.
There it is.
Okay.
The government is good at making money.
Mm-hmm.
So is Donald Trump.
Ah, that's right.
He went on Extra to talk about his tips to becoming rich so you can be like him.
The number one bit of advice is knowledge. Learn your subject. Know what you're doing. Number two, never ever give up. Number three, you've got to love what you're doing.
Never give
that.
Up. Is there really a good tip? When's the last time you heard a tip and went, wow, there you go?
Aren't there hundreds of books on how to make money?
You must love what you do.
Yeah.
I love telling people to love what they do. That's how I got rich.
I have an entire book. It's called Earn More Than You Spend.
It's called
Done.
Love What I Do When I Tell You to Love What You Do. Slovakia, give me another Mr. Pibb. That's right. I save money by not buying the premium Dr. Pepper.
That's one of his tips to becoming rich.
Yes.
Love what you do. Drink Mr. Pibb.
He's going to be president in 8 years. You understand that, everybody?
You
understand Donald Trump is going to be president. He'll be president one day. It'll be in our lifetime.
Now, will he still have Melania or whatever her name is?
Oh, no, because she will have seen her 38th birthday.
Right, so there'll be a new Slavic former model.
That's right.
First lady.
Yes, they'll be, they're going to, I don't know, I think they're harvesting Ava Gabor's eggs right now as we speak to make a new classy chick from Classylvania for Trump to marry his fifth wife.
Will he have his kids in his interior ministry? You know,
the secretary of class?
Right.
That's what you'll
Ivanka.
Be. Ivanka, you will be the secretary of does not suck in class.
And the son, I mean, he's pretty terrific.
He's terrific, and that's why I will make him chancellor in charge of losers.
Oh, no.
He will have to look over the losers as a terrific child.
I see. So there'll be a czar making sure that there are no losers.
Well, first off, I'm moving the White House. I'm going to put it on top of the Wharton School for Business.
Oh, Oval Office right on top of the Wharton School.
Mm-hmm.
That's classy.
Paul Bryan, you'll be the Minister of Degenerates.
Oh, great.
Oh, what are you going to do to Rosie when you become president?
Drawn and quartered. Actually, I'm going to do her into eights. I think her chunks are too big. The Clydesdales can't carry the chunks that big. We're going to break her off into eights. She'll be drawn in eights.
Now, I know you...
Possibly 16th. We're going to take her to the center of town. I'm going to take the Budweiser Clydesdales. We're going to hitch it up to her team. I'm going to make her lesbian partner watch it, and then we draw and quarter her.
I know you're partial to gold.
And then I burn her parts. And then I smoke her ashes.
All right. President Trump, when you
and
come
then home. I will take her ashes, collect them in an urn, and dump them over Lake Fat Ass.
You're going to rename
it? As a final
it?
Resting. Yes.
I see.
Yes. Lake Huron will be named Lake Fat Ass.
Because that's one of the biggest ones.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it'll be Rosie's final resting place.
Now, some of your decorating tastes might not go over very well when you're having meetings.
I will turn every street light into a chandelier.
Every street light?
Every street light will be turned into a chandelier. And every signal will be a candelabra.
Will you continue?
I'm going to class this joint up.
Will you continue?
Every pay toilet will be gold leaf.
Oh.
Urinals will be gold with my initials in pewter in the back.
I assume you'll have to give up your pageant as president.
No, I will not. As a matter of fact, I will extend it to every day of the year.
There's going
to
be a pageant every day.
Every day. There'll be, oh, hey, I'm Miss Wednesday, week 2, February. That's the way it'll work. Miss Universe? Is it Miss Universe?
Yeah.
I forget all my pageants. Yeah.
Now you'll probably
it'll be held on the roof of the White House.
You'll probably get rid of Ben Bernanke and bring in the winner of The Apprentice.
I don't recognize that name, but he's gone. I don't trust guys with last name Bernanke. It's either Italian or Jew. Either way, he's out.
Well, they deal with the money. You know, they're in charge.
I'll deal with the money from now on. Do you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to take Fort Knox. I'm going to put the Wharton School of Finance on top of that, and then I'm going to lower the White House on top of that, and that's where I'm going to live.
You'll live.
I call
right
it the
there.
Wharton sandwich. Mm-hmm. And I'm changing the shape of the Oval Office to oblong.
Will you have a vice president?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anybody in mind? Mm. Somebody who you think has the class?
Malosia.
Malosia is going to be Melania.
Yeah.
She'll be your ex-wife by then.
Okay, well, I'll marry someone else. Kleslankia.
Checks and balances.
Yeah.
Right, I see. But here's the thing.
By the way, I'm changing the address, too, to 1600 Class Avenue.
Well, Kleslankia will probably have been born in Clansylvania, so I don't think she can technically
Kleslankia is going to be, yeah, she'll be the first and second and third lady. She's that classy.
I don't know if she can hold office, having not been born here in the United States.
I'm going to go ahead and amend the Constitution.
Are you going to annex Clansylvania?
Well, first thing I do is annex Clansylvania. Secondly, I turn Cuba into a golf resort called Trumpuba. We can go there, have a cocktail, and play 18 round, play a nice round 18 over there. As a matter of fact, I turn Manhattan, I turn the whole entire state of Florida into one huge golf course. There's certain, we'll take certain countries and turn them into golf courses.
I'm
going to turn Iraq into a golf course, one giant sand trap. I'm going to turn Cuba into a golf course resort. I'm going to take over the world, and then I'm going to live on top of that weird tower in Brunei.
Are you going to rewrite the Constitution?
That's right. I will. Just like our super classy founding fathers would have wanted it, by the way. Four class and 7 years ago today.
How about Mount Rushmore?
I will put my big mug right. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have someone eliminated.
Ooh.
Who's on Roosevelt? Your history. You're gone.
People might be upset.
Teddy, hit the trail.
People really, you know,
hit the bricks,
him.
Teddy. You're gone. And by the way, when I think Rough Rider, I think Gay Magazine. So hit the trail, Teddy. I'm up there now. All we're going to do is put a huge wig on Teddy and knock those gay specs off him.
You didn't think the New Deal was classy?
New Deal to me, That's a casino I'm going to open in Atlantic City, Sweet Pea. That's what New Deal is to me.
Well, you must be excited, Mr. Trump, because I know you've probably met Jennifer Lopez.
J-Lo.
J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
And she's had a couple of twins.
Yeah, I heard. What are their names?
I have them for you now.
Mm.
This just in. They are Max.
Max.
And Emmy.
Max Lopez. I don't like it. Sounds like a super Mexican. Max. Do you want meat? I want medium Mexican.
Delicious.
I don't want Max. Too much Mexican.
Max and Emmy.
Emmy.
Emmy. E-M-M-E.
Yeah, like she's going to win one. Maybe I'll toss her into my cabinet.
What will she be the minister of?
I'll just send her some foreign outposts just so I don't have to deal with her.
You don't like her?
Imagine how obnoxious those kids are going to be.
Well, they're her first kids, but Mark, her husband, Mark Anthony, already has three from his previous marriage.
Shocking. Glad I'm sitting down on my throne.
You know, they have a lot of money, too, like you, Mr. Trump, and they spent a lot of money during their stay at North Shore University Hospital on Long Island.
I'm going to make this song the national anthem of Afghanistan, and then I'm going to bomb it back into the Stone Age.
They spent $1.4 million.
On what?
In the hospital.
In the hospital?
$700,000 for the hospital.
What, they have a jewelry store in there?
No. $700,000 for just the suite. $300,000 for private doctors and nurses. Another $300,000 for security. And $100,000 for personal assistance.
Mm-hmm. By the way, when you're in a hospital, do I have to keep talking like Trump?
No.
Okay. When you're in a hospital, don't you have a personal assistant called a nurse? I mean, isn't everyone just a personal assistant there? You just hit a button and some chick comes running along?
Well, I guess they needed $1.4 million of extra help.
Duh.
These are very important children.
Duh.
They came out of J-Lo.
I hate him. I hate him for that song.
I need to know.
And I hate that because he's Latin. And because he sings, he's a heartthrob when he's one of the least attractive men I believe I've ever seen on television beside myself.
Yeah, I don't really understand his appeal, though I like this
song. He's 4 foot nothing. He looks like a wet rat.
He looks a little tired sometimes.
Yes, tired of playing this crappy song.
And that was Adam Carolla back in 2008. Crystal Brain, Geo.
Yeah, it's crazy. That wasn't even in Teresa's tweet because she was there. The funniest part about that is hearing Teresa be like, "What?" And his foreign model wife will be the first lady. Yeah, right. And it's weird that Adam even brought this up. The Apprentice was a ongoing topic covered on the KLSX morning show. They covered it in Teresa's news quite a bit. Adam seemed to be a viewer at the time. They also talked about The Sopranos a lot. It's just whatever was on the time that Adam was happened to be watching. And it was also in the news a lot at the time. So Adam's actually making fun of Trump. And out of nowhere, he just comes up with this idea that because of the guy's personal momentum, he's going to end up being president. This was long before anybody was talking about that. This is before the Obama correspondence dinner, making fun of him. The only thing at this point that happened is like there have been some articles probably throughout the 90s asking him if he ever get into politics. And he revealed his plan of how he would get elected by pretending to be of a certain party and then convincing those people to vote for him because they were too stupid compared to the other party. And it's funny how all that played out. It's just weird that Adam conjured this moment that this guy's going to be president. And it was exactly 8 years like he said. It's just so bizarre. Yeah. I left in the whole clip of the news story that started the conversation and that you guys heard the funny ending.
All right. This next clip is a listener request. And I'll tell you how to write in your requests after we listen to this. This is from Ryan Hall. He writes, guys, can I please hear the Joe Coy Kobayashi reenactment with Adam? When Adam gets mad at Kobayashi for sleeping with blonde American women... Thanks, guys. Love your work.
Well, Ryan was accurate. He thought it might be 2013 or 2012. Adam Carolla Show 1136, featuring Christine D'Angelo, Joe Coy, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. This is from August of 2013. And Adam and Joe go over his history with the morning show when he'd call in as Kobayashi and how that all kind of went down. And Joe has a whole bunch of great insights into that that we never really hear about, nor did Adam, really. So this is a great little introduction to how Joe Coy came into the Carollaverse. Check it out.
Joe Coy, back in studio. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Always a joy when Joe Coy comes by. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
Joe is going to be doing some live shows. Syracuse Funny Bone, that is the August 16th through the 18th. Orlando Improv, that's the 22nd through 24th. And the Fort Lauderdale Improv, August 30th through September 1st. On the road with Joe Coy.
Nonstop.
Joe and I were first introduced some years back when I was doing my morning show and Joe was doing the voice of Kobayashi. And it was great because back then Kobayashi was dominating the Coney Island.
Kobayashi would have represented the biggest guest of that year on the radio show.
Yes, he was.
You had Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. Had Kobayashi come in,
but he would call in and taunt Joey Chestnut, the guy who's currently the winner. And I don't know if Joey really knew what was going on.
I think he really thought it was Kobayashi.
Yeah, yeah. And I like. How would you say Joey's name?
Joey Chestnut. You cannot eat the hot dog better than me, Joey Chestnut.
And I'd say, but Kobayashi, you don't understand how American the hot dog is. It's the 4th of July, it's Coney Island, it's Nathan's, and it is a hot dog. It's a symbol. It is the symbol of America. And
it is the insides of a peak.
No.
Just like America.
Oh, no.
Insides of a peak.
No, you don't speak that way about this country.
You don't talk to me like that Adam Macarura.
Listen to me, Kobayashi.
You listen to me.
No, you listen to me.
No one eat the hot dog better.
Okay, but you don't come to the United States of America. And take our flag.
Take a Honda. You take a Toyota.
Corolla. No, it's spelled differently.
You stole your name.
No, it is not. Corolla. It's an Italian name. We make Ferraris, Lamborghinis, and Maseratis, and other
Camry. Corolla.
No, it's Corolla.
Toyota. Corolla.
No, it's Corolla.
You give back a name to Toyota. I give back a hot dog.
No, we don't want your eating hot dog.
I don't want your hot dog.
All right. Do no crack wise with me. You come to this country.
Okay.
You make love to our women.
I make a sweet rough.
Sweet what?
Oh, rough.
R.
O.
O.
V.
V.
E.
Rough. Okay, you make sweet love to our women.
Uh-huh.
You.
I make a sweet rough.
Yes, you make sweet love to our women. You
pay
win
lots of money for a brown woman.
What's that?
Brown.
Brown woman.
Blonde.
Brown woman. Blonde. Oh, okay, you want blonde women.
Yeah.
You come here.
Oh,
you make sweet love to our blonde women.
All over brown women.
Oh, no. Hold on. You disrespect our blonde women.
Okay.
You have come to this country.
She is a woman.
The Statue of Liberty is a fine, fine woman. In the shadows of the Statue of Liberty, that's where Joey Chestnut will crush you on Coney Island and the hot dog eating competition.
Joey Chestnut to try and take my reign.
Do you understand what the 4th of July means to this country?
No.
That's when we declared our independence from the South.
Oh, so you eat the hot dog? Wow.
No, we don't eat. No, we didn't.
Independence today. Let's eat the hot dog.
No, we didn't eat
American
hot
people.
Oh, hold on. You better watch it right there, mister.
Dum-dum.
Oh, no. You better watch your mouth.
Do something.
Yeah, I'll do something, but good.
Yeah.
You'll be eating a fist, not a dog.
I'll eat many fists because I am champion.
Yeah. No, you just eat. No, you're missing a point. You wouldn't actually. I'd punch you is what I'm saying.
And I would eat it.
No.
Just give me a cup of water. I'll eat everyone's
a
feast.
No, I have a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Which I'm going to punch you.
Uh-huh. And then I will eat your punch.
No, this is not a victory for you. This would be a victory for me. I will be punching you.
And I will eat your punch.
Forget that part. Forget about the eating metaphor.
Meanwhile, Joey Chestnut sitting here very confused.
Just give a name back to Toyota.
All right, I'll...
Mr. Corolla.
Corolla, it's blonde, it's making love.
You're gonna Rav Brun Corolla.
All right. If you think you're going to come here on July 4th
I will.
On our most sacred of days and devour
eat
our
every
hot, dog,
hot dog
and make love to our blonde women.
Oh, make a sweet rough.
You.
I'll make a rough. Oh,
you got nothing coming, my friend.
Oh, speaking of which, all over brown woman face.
Jesus Christ.
This is just speaking of eating.
Yeah. All right. Listen, Kobayashi, I'm so disgusted. I can't even move forward with this interview anymore. Oh. You disgust me. Understand?
Good. You disgust me.
I normally have reverence for the Japanese people. I normally have a respect for the Japanese people.
You should have a respect for Japanese people.
I normally do, but you know what? I'll make
you're
an exception.
You're Japanese if you use the name Carora.
No, it's an Italian name, and it's spelled with an A. I have no respect for you. I respect your heritage. I respect your country or island or whatever we're calling it, but I have no respect for you.
I have no respect for you.
And be prepared to be disrespected by Joey Chestnut, a proud American.
Oh, bring it to Joey Chestnut. I dare you right now. I challenge you to eat as many hot dogs as a Kobayashi.
I don't know if Kobayashi remembers, we used to have a fat guy on our show named Tad who would end up taking more abuse than Joey Chestnut.
No.
Got a lot of shrapnel from Kobayashi.
You know who used to really get offended? What's his name? From Partridge Family?
Oh, damn.
He used to actually get into a verbal confrontation with Kobayashi.
I forgot about that.
Well, Danny Bonaducci lived in that ether between REM sleep and pro wrestling, where you're kind of in it. Like it's. I think it's the way 12-year-old boys feel about like Star Wars movies and things, where they're kind of there, but there's part of them knows they're sitting on their sofa, but there's another part that's dodging the laser beams. Oh, you know.
Totally.
So when Kobayashi would call in, Danny was not going to hear any shit from Kobayashi.
He was challenging him to like meet me in the parking lot, bro.
Speaking of Star Wars, you know what I realized Kobayashi sounds a little bit like?
But also a little Asian Tom Likas.
Well, speaking of movies, we are going to do a little made-up movie. Now, the made-up movie... All right, let me hit True Car. 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial is going to last. What else can you do in 60 seconds? You get an offer on your car. Just go to True Car from your smartphone or your computer. Enter your license plate number and watch your car's details come popping up. Answer a few questions. Get an accurate True Cash offer from your local True Car certified dealer. Then you bring your car in. They'll check it out with you. They'll do it together. Ask questions, get answers, no surprises. Then you leave with a, you trade your car in and get a new car. Hopefully the car's got hope. And, or you leave with a check, new or used, it's always True Car. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, you go new, you go True Car, you go used, you go True Car, or you want to just, trade in or sell them your car and, get a check in Uber home. Check out True Car today.
And that was Joe Coy as Kobayashi on the Adam Carolla Show podcast. Now, as Gio alluded to earlier, Joe used to call in to the Carolla Show, but it would never be like Joe Coy calling in as Kobayashi. It would just be Kobayashi. So nobody even really knew it was Joe Coy. Unless you knew Joe or unless Adam.
Including co-host Danny Bonaducci and Joey Chestnut, Kobayashi's real competitor, who they all assumed, as they discussed, possibly thought it was really Kobayashi calling in to hassle him on air. hilarious. Really one of the best clips breaking down something happened in the morning show on the podcast, especially for new listeners.
And thank you, Ryan, for requesting that. And if anybody listening wants to request a clip, email us classics@adamcarolla.com. Tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana, or Instagram us, Facebook us, text us, whatever. We'll take it. So let us know what you want to hear. All right, this next clip is a listener request from Jay. He emailed us and he writes, "Hey, Gio and Loxy, one of Adam's most hilarious improvised songs was when he turned the ABBA song Waterloo into Waterloo. Now, we played this shortly as an Ace Award back when we played all the Ace Awards, and everybody just grabbed onto this, thinking, I need to hear the full version of this clip." So, Gio got it for you. Yeah.
Adam Carolla Show 2242 featuring Derek Waters of Drunk History fame, Gina Grant and Brian Bishop. This is from January 2018. Some hot deodorant talk leads to discussion of puberty milestones among the staff, which leads to the excellent Waterlube song, which was a 2018 Ace Award, which recently played in Carolla Classics. Check it out.
I like all the Toms of Maine stuff. I like the toothpaste. I like the deodorant. I like all the natural stuff. Not because I'm a health freak. It's just, it's weird that the crass, the worst for every, here's the worst. Here's the ugliest of all the Americans. You know, when they do the toothpaste and it has flavor crystals in it and then five power zones and like a gel spine and they're explaining to you this green stripe is for cleaning. The red stripe then comes in after the green stripe and cleans up after the green. This one is an antifungal bacteria. And it's like, just give me some toothpaste. Like, it doesn't, I don't need all the crystals and all the stripes and what everything does. No. It's goo,
little charcoal, little mint.
Right. And I don't need all the weird flavors and everything. Just go Tom's of Maine. Just go your kind of spearmint and just toothpaste flavored.
No, extreme strawberry.
Done. Yeah, I don't eat none of that. None. Isn't that all for kids?
You'd think so, but you're starting to see it for adults now.
Also, the deodorant that smells like deodorant. Like, this is the Power Stroke. You know, it's the Red Zone Power Stroke Sports Scent by Menin. And it's like, it literally smells like if you looked up deodorant in a dictionary and could sniff the page, it would smell like Red Zone Power Stroke, whatever.
Mountain Ambush.
Mountain Ambush Red Zone Power Stroke by Menin and Gillette. And it's like, you smell it. And when you smell that guy, if you smell his deodorant, you realize, oh, I am smelling your armpits now.
Absolutely.
This is what I can't mistake this for anything else. The best I found. Also, I don't know if you guys are with me, but I feel like the roll-on is weird. Has anyone used a roll-on anymore?
No, in like middle school.
There's a ball.
Roll-on.
They used to have a roll-on.
I don't think they make that.
This is what I was told I have to use now, so I'm glad. I don't like this roll-on.
It's so sticky and liquidy.
It doesn't
and
feel right.
No, it doesn't.
You know what was a big thing in the 90s? I know because I was the prime demo as a teenager. Gel. The gel.
Oh, the gel.
That was the worst.
Weird. I don't like when you twist it. Very homoerotic, like when you twist in it.
Why am I putting on antiperspirant that makes the area wet?
The
one thing I want to keep dry is making it wet.
But on the other side of the spectrum, when you said flavor crystals, everyone's like, oh, you just got to use this, rub the crystal on your underarm.
Here's my attack. I got a three-prong attack to scent.
Okay.
And not always used, by the way. That caveat first. Okay. But here's what every guy needs. You need some deodorant that is just basic Tom's of Maine, just sort of regular.
Okay.
Or just whatever. Or you could get, now people are going to make fun of this, but get the baby powered sort of Shore, just the white stuff that just has like a baby powder scent
baby powder
to it.
Scent,
it's just a light scent. There's nothing, it smells fresh or new or clean or something. It doesn't smell anything like deodorant. Do that. Then have a can of the spray-on baby powder. Sure, again, have a can of the spray-on. That's for hitting outside of the shirt. Ooh. I actually did that today. I had a shirt. I had an undershirt that's a little funky town, and I don't know what to do with it. I just give it the shot. You just give it the shot from outside. That's basic.
Doesn't it leave a mark?
You get invisible spray.
Okay.
Get the spray. You get the spray for the quick hitter.
Okay.
You get the, again, just the regular, you know, Tom's or whatever, or Shore, whatever, just a white baby powder, whatever, plain for hitting the bare pits. And then you get some kind of spray cologne, nothing over the top, nothing too musky or anything like that. And occasionally, if your head starts smelling because you haven't taken a shower in a few days, you give it the shot and you kind of walk through it.
Wow.
You don't blast it on the wrist or anything. Just give it to the, you weaponize it.
Okay.
That's my move.
I like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, I'm dressing for success this year. That's my other thing.
You have a lot of mink coats on right now.
A lot.
Nice starter jacket.
I'm like a rapper.
I used to do two undershirts, not like just so I wouldn't have like a sweat stain in high school.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And then, but your undershirt's just covered in perspiration.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
We are way, way too... We as a society, you know, you say you can't judge, right? Everyone's not judging. But I got to say, for things that are basically out of your control, mm-hmm. let's say high school,
yeah.
your skin is kind of out of your control. Like it's a genetic hand.
Yeah.
You get some people have beautiful skin and other people get acne or they get whatever. Or they have scarring or they mm-hmm. just they're circles under their eyes yeah. or puffiness yeah. under their mm-hmm. eyes. Some guys go bald when they're easy. Younger. Some guy, you know, you're sweating. Everyone thinks it's like, oh, look at him. He's a nervous mess over there or whatever. He must have committed a crime or something. It's like some people just genetically sweat yeah. under the arm. Some people's feet get sweaty. Some people don't sweat at all.
No, it's a reflection on
their
character.
What's all the judgment yeah. going? There's so much judgment on what's going on with your hair or your skin or whatever. I'm thinking about Trump and his medical workup. But yeah. Dr. Drew was just saying to me when they were like yelling, you know, how can you eat Kentucky Fried Chicken and be healthy? He's like, he's got a good genetic hand. Like that's it. He doesn't have the disease that a lot of people have at age 70. Yeah. And there's so much. So much of what we have is genetic. You just take mm-hmm. height. Guys get penalized for height. Girls get penalized for having wide hips. You know, all the things we can't control, a lot of penalization,
over, yeah.
a lot of judging, yeah. and then not so much on the stuff we can control oftentimes, right. like how we treat our kids. can't judge. Yeah. You know, it's like,
that's a good
what is that? Yeah. Why? It's what lets us know we're animals. Mm-hmm. Because you see that kid.
The thing that's within your control.
I'm better than you. You have.
Right. You're like, short. You're born yeah. shorter, or you again. Just take something like skin.
Right,
like,
acne. I took tetracycline in school. Like, was I like not washing my face? No, I was washing my
yeah,
face.
But, oh yeah, that's right. That's right. So we have to ascribe things to it. Like you, right. you eat a lot of chocolate though.
Yeah. Pizza.
I don't eat
pizza.
Chocolate. You eat a lot of chocolate. Yeah. What do? Take the Hershey stuff, just squirt it straight up your ass, or just yeah. put it in your mouth, or how much chocolate? Because your skin. You eat. You ever look at pizza? You see that layer of grease
yes,
on the top?
Yes, I see that.
Do you eat pizza?
Oh, who doesn't?
Hold on. Hold my pizza. I'm not done judging. Oh. You must eat a lot of pizza. That's why, see, I don't eat pizza. See, what I have combination skin with the oily T-zone, but I don't eat a lot of pizza.
Mm.
You must. Because you're weak.
Yes, extremely. All right, I'm also lactose intolerant.
I'm not that way.
You have inferior genes.
Go to your gluten-free party, all right? That's the worst, and also my favorite is when you say, like, something's wrong with you, and you're with someone you just met, and they're like, well, this is what you need to do. That makes me so happy. Like, you don't know me. Don't tell me what I need to do.
And how do they know?
How do they know? You don't know me. You don't know what
did
my body
parents,
is.
Did your parents talk to you? I got the conversation from my wife last night that maybe it was time to talk to my 11-year-old son about his ding-a-ling and feelings that he might
time.
Be having.
Save for air.
And?
I did what I always
wait,
do.
Did your wife hear something that, or she's just looking at the clock and seeing that he's 11, maybe you should talk about it.
She
witnessed something.
Oh, no.
I think they were like watching.
She does the laundry.
They were like binge watching Stranger Things or something, and mm-hmm. he was kind of next to her on the sofa, like kind of strumming his guitar
oh,
a little
really?
Bit.
No.
And I told her, you know, guys, that's kind of a default setting. Yeah, you know
sure.
what I mean? Like, let's definitely make a draw a firm line in the sand between masturbating and just kind of thinking.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's like scratching your beard.
You know when guys are jogging and you see them at a red light and they're just sort of in place?
Yeah.
It's kind of that. We're not sprinting. We're not going anywhere. We're just kind of
holding pattern.
It's keeping the dust off.
Yeah.
You know
staying
what I
awake.
Mean? Staying awake.
Yeah,
that's all.
The show's boring. You got to fiddle the faddle every once.
Right. Once. But that's a little default setting for dudes.
Wait, so who's getting the talking to, Sonny or Lynette?
Well, I had to give her the talking
yeah.
to.
Does Sonny also get a talking to?
But you should know not to fiddle it in front of, you know,
Mom.
The family.
Yeah.
Here's a
or anyone.
One should know. One should know. But it's true. If you are going to do it, though, do it in the comfort and safety of my own living room.
Sure.
It's not his. It's mine.
That's true.
Here's a quickie for everyone. I never thought about it. I then had to say to my wife that, you know, I didn't get started till high school. I was like in the 10th grade. Before
wow.
I start.
And
I,
it's hard when they all live in the same room.
And I realized that's late.
Yeah. Hmm.
But now I start to think, well, if I'm late, what's the average?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, on my schedule, I don't have to talk to the kid till the 10th grade. But Where's everyone at? Give me a number. I'm looking around.
There's a difference of like in high school, there's a finished product when you know, but when
now,
you're younger.
I'm talking finished product.
Oh. I remember being obsessed with, we had a pretty white trash neighborhood and everyone had an above ground pool. And me and my friends were really excited about the pool filter.
Oh.
That was like a thing for
taking it
boys.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every single time it came to, it was my turn, the mom would always come out. I was always a sicko just lounging over top of the pool,
Derek
smiling.
Immediately starts screaming, Marco Polo.
Yeah.
That's just like, Derek, you're
exactly.
alone. You're
I
alone.
Can't swim. No, all I right. don't know. I, high school, yeah. I mean, when you like get to that age,
but,
like I
but
feel
ninth
like
your
grade,
friends start
grade?
To tell you what to do. Then
yes, it's true.
What
my friends were
what?
Were sickened
well, when
that
it
I didn't
became
masturbate.
Something. Oh, okay. Yeah, when it became not disgusting, when like be like, oh, I did that, and yeah. not like, dude, you touch yourself,
weirdo. Right?
Oh, yeah. you want to feel good, weirdo.
Grab that drunk.
So Dawson. Max Pata, like I need an age here. I got to talk to this boy.
I know this answer because we moved when I was in eighth grade.
December 12th.
And it was before that. It's end of sixth grade.
Okay. So 12,
oh, boy.
12 and a half.
Was, no, man. Sonny's
no,
in the sixth
11.
Grade.
11?
Oh, boy.
A smart kid.
That's bad news for me. All right. When should I expect him to start smoking two packs a day?
15.
15? Okay.
Afterwards.
All right. Hey, maybe there's a correlation. Max Pata?
I was a healthy 13.
Nice.
13.
Thank you, 13.
Yeah. Stayed home. I was sick, but I was old enough to not need a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
So
perfect.
Got to know
sweet
myself.
Yeah.
13. Brian, age?
I suspect I have vague memories of as early as fifth grade, but I know for a fact it was at least by sixth grade.
Wow.
You're on the cusp.
Oh, boy.
Man. You're there.
Oh, boy. I'm on the clock for the next
maybe it was
dick.
Summer between 5th and 6th.
Jesus.
So, but yeah, right around that area.
We're producing a product.
Was doing it with a purpose, as they said.
Wow. I got to get
sixth
moving.
Sixth grade?
By the way,
went bald in sixth grade, so
no one ever,
testosterone going.
No one ever talked to us about anything, right?
No.
No.
Did you, Chris, do an informal poll of those guys' polls and find out when everyone else started? Because this is starting to worry me now, the sixth grade talk. Yeah. Derek, where were you? I know you're playing it a little close to the
what's that?
Boxer briefs here, but come on, let's have a number.
I would say I remember the first time that happened. I would say 16.
16?
As in a finished product.
Yeah, I know that's
wow.
what that's where I was. I was old.
Yeah, because I didn't know what was happening. No, sorry, I was in seventh grade. I just remembered
major drop off.
I remembered the sock. That's the part that I remember. And it really messed me up because I remember I loved baseball. I still do. And even though I'm from Baltimore, for some reason my parents gave me a Don Mattingly poster, and I realized like that's
what you were staring at.
I wasn't staring at it, but that was like the first thing I saw.
It was in the purview.
Afterwards.
Donnie baseball.
You cannot get aroused now without seeing Don
judgmentally.
I went somewhere. I like baseball cards, and I was at a baseball card shop, and the guy had that exact poster, and it really freaked me out.
Oh yeah, yeah. Brought you back
yeah,
to the sock.
Yeah, just a little kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever get busted?
Yeah, at your friend's house, right?
What was the friend's house?
But didn't you get caught with a magazine?
Well, that was that was an insane story. That was me sleeping over at Ray's apartment, his parents' apartment. And for some reason, I was sleeping on the floor. I was always like, to me, if you had wall-to-wall carpet, like, I grew up in a real trashy house. It was a real beater. And wall-to-wall carpet was kind of a big deal. And these guys, my friends who had apartments, all had wall-to-wall carpet. It was kind of cool. And sleeping on the floor was cool for me if you had wall-to-wall carpet. Yeah. So I was just on the floor, and Ray had a magazine. This is back when you knew, like which friends. Like, this friend has Electronic Battleship, and this friend has an Atari, and this friend has a mini bike. Like, you had your friends separated by
Absolutely.
What they had.
This one on Sega Genesis.
Yeah. Later on, it became
today.
Porn. Like, hey, this guy's got this porn. Ray had a magazine called Frisky. Like a total 50s, like back when chicks had huge areolas and big, like, swinging banana tits. And they'd be like, there'd be a picture of them, like, fixing you a cocktail with a beehive hairdo, but they were topless, where they were like their grandma's underpants.
Yeah, like the whiteout lipstick.
Yeah.
Swinging like, banana. Never mind.
Yep. No, just these pendulous kind of like, they weren't the fake ones and they weren't the waif models. Yeah. They were like these weird kind of 50s, 60s boobs, you know? And he had this magazine called Frisky, and I was like, oh, yeah. And
hey, that's me.
He had a babysitting gig or something in the apartment above us. And I was like, I'm tired. I'm going to go retire. But of course, I was grabbing Frisky.
Yeah.
And I had the bed sort of blanket on the floor and the pillow on the floor and like maybe a sheet on the ground is laying on that. Oh, we're looking at Frisky.
There she is. Exactly as you described her.
Wow.
Well, there was quite a few episodes.
It's Adam's rosebud.
Issues.
He keeps got to get the...
By the way...
Frisky.
Imagine.
You got to get that issue back.
Imagine that. We got to get the Don Mattingly poster and that episode of Frisk. That issue of Frisky. I love it, too. Like, I'd love to be able to explain. This is part of the discussion I'm going to have with my son. 8 pages of sizzling color. Like, you have 700 million hours of anal porn on your phone. And I had 8 pages in color.
And at the bottom, why does it say Irish She Publican and Brenda in Need?
I have no
idea. We got to crack that thing open.
We can probably find the episode, or the episode,
the issue.
Issue of Frisky. Anyway, Ray had that issue of Frisky. I was like, oh man, this is the greatest day of my life. And I was just looking at it. Because before any of the masturbation kicks in, you just stare.
Yeah. You just can't
just stare at it. And I was just like staring at it. And when I was staring at it, and Ray's mom, God rest her soul, Irene, was like, Adam. And she like came and I threw it under the blanket. And she's like, oh, look at you there on the floor. Come on, let's get you up. Let's get your bed made. Let's do it properly. No. And I'm like, no. I'm good. And I have the magazine like under the blanket. I'm like kind of cradling it. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I live in a barn with horrible parents who don't care. This is such an upgrade.
You're like Spud in Trainspotting. No, under the sheets.
Yes. And so she's like, I won't have it. I won't have it. Get up. No one's going to come sleep over at my house and sleep on the floor. And I'm like, well, I am. Let's buck that trend. I'll be the first. And she's like, no, I not on my watch. Like, I'm not going to have someone sleep on the floor. And she's like, get up. And I'm like, I'm good. And she's like grabbing the blanket, like trying to pull it from me. And I'm like holding, pinching it under my arm with this Frisky magazine going, I'm fine. Because I couldn't think of anything more embarrassing than this magazine falling out.
But also standing up with a boner.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we're arguing. We're fighting over the blanket. By the way, I have a lot of this in my life where it's like, you guys know, like where someone goes like, you talk to the person, you go, I'm not going to come out to Chet's party this Saturday. I just got too much on my plate. And then that person goes, Chet's gonna really be bummed out. Yeah. And then you go, I don't even know Chet that well. And they're like, I feel like Chet would feel pretty bad. And you're like, I feel like he'd be out fine. And I told him, I already emailed him. Yeah, Chet's not. And you're like, whoa, can't you just go fine? Move. Can't you just get on with your goddamn life? Like,
we'll miss you. See you next
time. They don't want to go alone. You got to delete that friend.
The third time I told Irene Oldhofer, I'm cool on the floor. Like, I okay, fine. Like, I would have just left. Like, oh, sleep on the floor. Maybe got a bad back. But she was like, no. So like, we stood up. And I was like still holding the blanket and the Frisky magazine. And she's like, give me the blanket. And I'm like, I got the blanket. Just go ahead and make the bed up. Get the mattress out or whatever. And she's like doing it. And she's pulling her blanket again. And I'm like, okay. Like, this is the only time I'm an atheist. The only time I ever really believed in God is when I went like, take the blanket. And she like took the blanket in slow motion and like spread it out in such a way where the magazine just stayed under the blanket the whole time. Like, whoa. It never popped out or hit the ground or whatever. And she made it, and she, like, stood there, and she went, like, there. Isn't that better? And I was like, yes. It's a miracle.
And you're
it's
an atheist.
Right. And then Ray got back, And I was like, oh, my God. You can't believe what happened. Your mom came in here. I had the Frisky magazine. She pulled the thing apart. It was epic. But she never saw the magazine. She never saw it. It was a miracle. I tell you, a miracle. And then the next day, breakfast. Oh, his mom was making us pancakes. He's like, hey, Mom. I was like, and she's like, yeah. Hey, you know a Frisky magazine? Yeah. Adam had it under the cover the whole time. That's why he was arguing with you. And I was like,
it could go no other way.
No, it could go no other way than that. All right, do we get a number, Chris? Sorry.
Yep, and one of the weirder uses of a buck slip. I went around and I asked Kalen. Kalen is, he was 11 or 12.
Oh, boy.
Dylan was 15.
Ugh, makes sense.
Matt Fondelier, Seeker of Pleasure, starting at age 12.
Okay.
And Gary was 11 or 12.
In the pod in first class, or is this on terra firma?
Yeah, this might have been on.
This in Orange County or globetrotting with this international playboy professional golfer dad?
I didn't
ask
him that, yeah.
But in the poll, was anyone like in a household that like talked about masturbation being okay?
Oh, no.
So I would think no one
you ain't
had,
met these guys.
I don't want to have a mom and dad to do that.
Yeah. Did your I agree, too. Like, a lot of people are like,
you got to figure it out.
There's a whole group. There's a group of people. There's two groups where they go like, oh, my God. If you talk to most people whose parents spanked them, now people go like, oh, my God, you don't put your hands on your kids. If you talk to the kids, they'll go, oh, no, I deserved it.
Yeah.
Like, I needed
every
it.
Every time.
I should have been spanked. And I deserved spanked. It. It's fine. Like, they'll do that. Yeah. And if you talk to most adults, they're like, you know, you really have to talk to your kids about the sexuality and about the changes and what's going on. And if you talk to – it's the only time I'm glad my dad was, like, lukewarm on his shoulder. Like, thank you, Dad. You never gave me money, never paid for college, you never bought me a car, you never talked about anything. Thank you for this one aspect. Of you not communicating with me, which is we never had to have this weird conversation. But as a good parent, I must have the weird conversation.
It's the one area I'm okay with the big government because, at least for me, and I'm sure for a lot of us, there was health class in school, and they went over how
separate
it all
the
went.
Boys and
like,
girls.
I'm totally okay with Mrs. White or whoever. Yeah, you know,
Miss Komisar, get that banana on, put the condom on. That's with your mouth. Go ahead. Go
I remember Mr.
out.
Caphammer had like a light outlet standing in front of the class, and he said, this is a man, and this is a woman, and then plugged in the light. And I remember that just being the coolest thing.
Wow. But she glows when you put it in.
Yeah, yeah. You want to make her light up.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a three-pronger. I feel like I got a ground.
The closest I ever got to like a sex talk was my high school girlfriend and my family. We were going to Cleveland, Ohio to see the opening of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, not to date myself. Mm-hmm. And she had a real crazy mom. Everybody does. But she called me and she's like, hey, just so you know, my mom's on her way over to tell your parents that we're having sex.
Oh,
and, God.
You know, my parents thought I was going to wait till I was, you know, married, you know. And so I was like, do I let this wicked witch of the East, like, do it or should I? And so I went downstairs and I told my mom and I started with this. Hey, Mom, you know how I'm getting married, right?
Yeah. Smart.
And she's like, yeah, yeah. I was like, well, so we like have had, I've had sex with other people. She's had sex with other people. But we like lost our virginity together with like two people love. She's like, have you told your father? And I said, not yet. And then I go and I remember like Monday Night Football's playing. He's like a beautiful fat man, like eating his chips, you know, after 40 hours working that day. I'm about to ruin his dreams. And hey, Dad, Mom's coming over because she found out we're having sex, and she just wants to talk about it before the trip. He opens his eyes and just goes, is she pregnant? And I said, no. He goes, okay. That was as close.
Wow.
That's really
wow.
All that matters.
Way to get out ahead of that.
Now, my grandmother would make comments like, she saw me once and she said, you have hair on your legs. Now that means you can have babies. She also asked if
very what? Old world.
All right.
If anyone at the table, well, I'll bring it back to New World. She wanted to know if anyone at the table knew what a rim job was.
I know.
And
do you want to find out?
One of the more intrusive things she said after being married to my grandfather for 50 years, after he died, she was really in a funk for a number of years. And I went to her house and I said, like, how you doing? And she said, I can't stop thinking about, your grandfather. Everywhere I look, they live in a small house in North Hollywood. I open the door, or the closet door. I see his overcoat hanging in there. I go into the den. I see his typewriter there in his study. I go in the bathroom, open the cupboard. I see the water soluble lube. I swear to God, she just touched me. I was like, couldn't have just stopped at the typewriter or the oversized print dictionary. Had to go for the lube. had to go for the lube. The yeah. lube.
The worst.
Not the museum.
The lube.
Not the lube.
Not the luge.
Had to end it with the water lube. Not Waterloo, not in France. Waterloo. This was my Waterloo.
Yeah. ABBA.
Oh, my God. And you knew she was serious because she knew it was water soluble.
She talked to... There it is.
Waterloo.
One of their best.
Vagine. My grandma's is dry, thus she needs lubrication for grandpa. And now he's going to violate her on a brass bed. That I remember as a lad.
Yeah.
I think he may have had some fun with dad on there as well. Waterloo. Couldn't let grandpa in without it on. Sing along. Waterloo. Gonna embarrass the hell on my grandson. Waterloo. Couldn't have stopped at the goddamn typewriter. Waterloo. Telling your boy so you kill yourself. Oh, and not whacking again. Waterloo. You'll never whack off at Ray's mom's apartment. All right.
Yay, Waterloo.
Waterloo.
That better make an appearance on the Ace Awards.
That is... That'll be a standalone category.
Waterloo. All right. Where were we?
Derek
Waters here. Waters. What? Drunk history. So we're going to play our game, right? We're going to play drunk walking. So Dylan went to a bar.
Yeah, he went to Idle Hour in North Hollywood.
Great and, bar.
Yeah, quite a watering hole.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Wait, where is that? I'm from North Hollywood.
Is that the one that looks like a barrel?
Vineland and fish and chips place. Yeah.
Oh,
Cave.
That
it's awesome.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a big barrel, I think.
Yeah, my friend's a bartender. She's manager there.
Ooh. Yeah, by the Odyssey.
Yeah.
The big Odyssey that has like big layers. Like, we have Kim Kardashian sex tape on sale. Like weird. That place used to just sell and rent like regular VHS tapes.
And then in the back, you'd have
they had a huge porn section. I remember first moving out here, me and my friend would go there and buy stuff together, and then we would trade it, which now that sounds, that's disgusting.
It is, but it's good
jerking
business.
Off to the same stuff? It's weird.
Yeah. I had a few trading sessions. I had a friend who worked at Dale's Jr., and they had a nice section of magazines, so he was lousy with porn. And I'd come over with mine every once in a while, but I got it, need it, don't want it.
I used to work at Tower Video, and there was a porn section, and the only reason I know that this porn existed was someone rented it, and it was called 87 and Still Banging. Yeah.
There was one.
I'm
gonna lube myself. Yeah. All right, let's do a little drunk. Let's do a little drunk walking. Here we go. First, LifeLock, a database belonging to a Chinese smart home device company, was left exposed, and it included more than 2 billion logs containing everything from user passwords to account reset codes. So many threats in today's connected world. It just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. Then the personal information gets exposed and someone could use it to commit identity theft. These folks, it's on the rise. Come on. This is all they're doing. You have so much freedom with the internet and your credit cards and paying for everything online and negotiating life online, but how about a little insurance? How about LifeLock? LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It is the best. It is LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LifeLock for 10% off.
Waterloo. Oh, yeah. God, that really is just so catchy.
Everybody tweeted about how they were humming it.
I know. It's stuck in my head now. All right.
His grandma's gross.
Before we get to this next clip, a reminder, Adam's going to be at Napa, the Uptown Theater, this Friday night. So come out and see Adam Kroll's Unprepared watch him pull some balls, and come meet him. Press the flesh. We'll do a meet and greet afterwards, too. So let's have some fun. All right. This clip is a request from Victoria. And she writes, "Thanks for all you do. Love the show." Thank you, Victoria. Joe Coy plays a cheese basket of different cheeses. What a weird sentence that is. Okay. Joe Coy plays a cheese basket of different cheeses. I know it's not much, but I remember sharing it with people. So we got a clip of Joe Coy as cheese, right?
Yeah. This is Adam Carolla Show 1917. It's featuring Kevin Pollak, Joe Coy, Gina Grant, and Brian Bishop. It also is featuring Dr. Drew via clip from the Adam and Dr. Drew Show, where Adam was just going off on soft versus hard cheese, and then he started adding in like gynecological terms to the cheese, and they play this clip on the podcast, and then from there, Joe Coy starts riffing from the POV as said cheese. Check it out.
Oh, speaking of food, and Dr. Drew, I had a cheese-related rant that I had never really experienced before, but Drew inspired me to scream about cheese.
Oh, good.
And
what I do now?
I don't know how to recreate it, so I just thought I'd play you some of it, and we'll just stop when your ears start bleeding. But
it'll be an invisible
cue. Me and his. When's his show? His is Wednesday show or
Thursday,
something?
Actually,
Thursday show. All right. Anyway, go ahead.
We buy as a nation, and we display way too much soft cheese.
People, finally, the hard hitting topic.
I was thinking about it the other
you mean like a French, like a brie or something?
Brie and there's blue cheese and things like soft cheese.
As opposed to the manchegos.
There's nothing better than the harder Italian cheese or even
that's
the
true.
It struck me, it was a weird thing because
have you ever had Fontina cheese?
Probably.
Oh my god. And that's a soft ish, but they don't display that one prominently. You're right.
You like the cheese where you eat it as itself. Right now, it's something you spread because all the soft
and it was a weird. It struck me that my
eat
favorite cheese is you go to the Trader Joe's. It's sort of Italian, but it's not really Parmigiani, and it's not that hard, but it's a little stiff.
Yeah.
And you cut off pieces.
Yeah.
It's pungent. It tastes really great. Anyway,
Manchego's the
maybe that's it. Provolone is great. But anyway, look. My wife's friend Jody came over the other week, and she did the farmer's market thing, and she brought all the but it was almost all like soft, you know. And it comes in the cellophane, and it's a little wilts a little. And she had it all spread out.
It lasts
and everything
for 5 minutes.
And
I
realized
the other thing.
Nobody touched it, and then about 2 weeks later, it was all bad in the fridge, and I had to chuck it. And then we had the party the other day with the movie premiere, and they brought a lot of cheese back. All the stuff that came back was soft, which meant all the hard stuff got eaten. Now, all I'm saying is this. When you do the cheese thing, when you're doing the thing where you're doing the party and you got to have some stuff going around or whatever, stop at the 50-50 mix.
Yeah.
It's right up there with the vegetarian pizza. It's like, hey, we got to have some veggie pizzas. We got to have some veggie subs. Who do we need veggie subs? It's like, no, you don't. I don't think people like it. And by the way, if you don't like hard cheese, you don't like cheese. Fuck you. Like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. I don't care if you don't get your fucking brie.
You know
how about
I think,
that?
I think
that you can't eat it. Your chip. Here's the thing about brie. You can't shove your fucking finger in it. You rub the. You take the fucking cracker. It'll bust off.
Yep.
Now you're left with. I got to find a fucking broad knife. Somebody get me a spatula, and I got to heat this up a little. And then you start hollowing out the center of it.
Yep.
Starts to get hollowed out, and then it pussy lips falls over on itself, like it flaps over on itself. Now you're digging from the side, but the side is congealed.
Pussy lips?
Yeah. The labia falls over on itself.
Majora. Majora.
Always a little go. There's always some dickhead. Oh, you can eat that. Yeah, I can eat a fucking cigarette butt too, bitch. But I choose not to. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. You can eat it. Yeah, I don't have to peel an orange. I can just eat it, but I don't want to do it. I don't choose to. But yeah, no, you can. And then, so now the side gets hard. Because side gets a little hard because it's been exposed to the air a lot.
Yeah.
The front access, no access anymore. It's flapped over. So now you're going at it at the side. And they give you those stupid water table cracker things, those stupid ones. It's from England. They must know more than us about crackers.
They know more about crackers.
Then we got to scrape it along the edge. You got to try to penetrate that side hymen. Side hymen. Because it congeals a little, gets a little smoothed over.
Suddenly become a vulva.
It's become a vulva, and it gets a side hymen. And now we got to try to get into that. Meanwhile, if you just fucking cube up some Monterey Jack and cube up some cheddar and cube up some whatever you say, Havarti or something, just fucking cube it up, and everyone will walk by and just pop it into their mouth.
But if you're going to go...
No problemo. And the goddamn soft cheese can't be transported. The cubes, the harder cheese, you bust off a chunk, put some in a cup or something, put a few carrots, go out and smoke and eat your cheese or walk around, take a napkin, throw a few squares on your napkin and go walk around with your beer or whatever it is. Oh, not the soft cheese. You fucking stand here and eat it here, bitch. You eat it here. Sorry.
I would argue that this is more of the nonsense that came out of the 70s. Because it was...
You can't steer everything back this way. You're like a racist. The black folk. This started in the South with the black folk. You do that, but with the 70s. You're like a racist with the 70s.
All right, without my racist rant. I think that this is a vestige of the fact that the first exotic cheese that sort of arrived on the American palate was the French and the Brie and the Camembert. And we just never got over it.
I'm over it!
Even though there's so much better stuff here. Everything's available. Now.
I'm saying when you do the cheese spread, we do not need the 50-50 soft to the stuff that we fucking like. Yes, Max Pata?
They just go to die.
Then they bust off. They're like, what do you want from me? I'm spineless.
The goat cheese, you like that soft?
Oh, fuck no.
And there are firmer goat cheeses, too, that are really good.
No.
Yeah.
I am telling you.
They're not spreads. You can cube them.
Now you go online to Trader Joe's and find me my fucking hard cheese. I buy this shit. But there's nothing better than like just a little provolone slice. Right? This is quite, anyway, let's stop it with the soft cheese, America. What's making us soft?
Ooh, sauce.
Yeah, we're turning into sauces with these hard cheeses. And like I said, the tip of the Brie is fine, but once you start getting past the tip and midship of the Brie, it's gone.
That was that again.
It's no good.
Is that a sexual?
How much Brie gets
this whole
away?
Rant has been sexual.
How much Brie gets thrown out every year because half a thing of Brie? You know what I mean?
Is a vulva?
You get to the pussy lips, you get it flapped over on itself, and the rest has to get trashed because the only way to do it is to lift it up,
put your mouth up to
put
it.
Put in the stirrups. Get the speculum and peel it back, right?
Yep, that's it.
You have a major vaginal surgery on the Brie. Like, what else are we going to do?
Yeah.
And who wants to get their hands dirty with this shit? You walk around smelling like a fucking, like bad
careful,
socks
careful,
all day?
Careful.
I said socks. Not salmon. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? It's a process.
Yeah, the cheese.
Now I got a fucking fridge full of soft cheese. I got a fridge full at home of soft cheese. I have to throw it all out.
We just invented something new here. Cheese speculum.
Cheese speculum. Well, I'd like to live in a world where if you can't cube it, get it the fuck off my platter.
That's a motto for living. Can't cube it, fuck it.
Yep. If this cheese cannot be cubed, I got no time for it on
What's
my
the matter,
platter.
What's Gary?
No fucking time for
not
it.
Not a model to live by?
No, I think it is.
I think that's about it, right?
Wow.
What do another 10 minutes on?
You should definitely listen to Thursday's A&D because that's only about half of the
20 more minutes on cheese.
We take a call and it diverts a little bit, but then you start requesting that I find your kind of cheese at Trader Joe's and we get into it.
And this is the show where Adam and Drew answer listener questions.
That's right.
I told you we took a call, Brian.
Yeah, we took a call.
I feel bad for Gary because as soon as Adam said, go to Trader Joe's website and find me, I know for a fact, because I've been there many times, Trader Joe's website does not have their products on it.
Sure don't.
They don't have their products. It's like a description of like recipes and stuff.
Grana Padano, I think, is the one I was trying to figure out.
That's what we think we came up with. It's right up here on your screen.
There's one that I just love.
Oh, is that like a
from Trader Joe's? It's not hard. It's not soft. It's zesty and it's very Italian. And I just enjoy the hell out of that one. But anyway,
cheese. Soft cheese should only be in a can, anyways, with the little long nipple.
the aerosol cheese.
Soft cheese.
Weaponized best.
Yep. But Dr. Drew's right. Manchego is my favorite cheese.
So,
Spanish.
When you cube the cheese gets eaten 100% of the time because it either gets eaten all at the party or just ends up in a piece of Tupperware and you just sit the next day and you pop them in your mouth. I say 50% of brie displayed gets wasted.
Yeah. Absolutely, because it can't sit in air that long.
And especially since the real business end is the backside that you can't get to. Yeah. The pointy side, you get to about 10-15%, and then the rest got to go in the garbage, right?
And brie doesn't keep. Like, once you're done with that half of brie, what are you going to kind of mold it back into some saran wrap or something?
When brie's at a party and it's been, you know, handled a lot, it ends up looking like the slime that you buy when you drop it on the ground,
the
it starts picking
cups.
Up debris.
Some rat droppings in there, busted off crackers.
Confetti.
Because I don't know what brie etiquette is, but you can't go, what do? Get a pencil and try to dig out what you broke off in the brie at the party? You can't do it when
they've contributed to the brie at that point.
You know what they need?
The debris.
We need a, not a bad rapper name either. Debris.
There's Debrat. Yeah. Debrat.
Yeah.
I need
Debris
right,
album.
Here's what
cheese. Yo, this is Debris. My new album releases next month. It's called Cutting Cheese. Fuck cheddar. Fuck cheddar. Fuck cheddar. I say brie. You say fuck. Brie.
Fuck.
Brie.
Fuck.
That's what I'm saying. dropping this month.
Hey,
Debris. DJ Debris.
Yeah,
and his new album.
Debris.
Cutting Cheese.
Yeah, man, I love it.
Yeah, what's
man.
Up, man?
Hey, my son is.
Fuck your party and your brie.
He's lactose intolerant. So I don't know. Is it okay to listen to your music?
Yeah, it's all good as long as there's no brie in the motherfucking house.
Like I said, he's lactose intolerant, but he does love your music.
Everybody loves me, debris. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the place to be.
Oh yeah, you rhyme that one.
Yeah,
like
this.
Like
we
that.
Can rhyme together. One, two,
three.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking this off the top of my head. Like, you know, I like the party. I like Havarti.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, wow.
Like everybody likes the party when there's Havarti.
Right. Cheddar better.
Cheddar better. Everybody better. That's not even a word, but it rhymes with cheddar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So debris.
Yeah.
So I know there's like a gangster rap, right?
Hurry up.
Yeah.
Hurry up before I bust a cracker in your ass.
Oh, cracker. I get it.
You know what I'm saying? That's wordplay. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I know there's like the gangster stuff. There's like the East Coast and the West Coast and all that Crips and Bloods and everything. But I don't know that there's much dairy-based rap.
Oh, man. We coming up, yo.
You're the first I've heard of the dairy-based rappers.
I'm trying to break out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, in stores in January, debris.
Right,
debris
right.
in the place to be.
Right. Cutting the cheese?
Cutting the cheese.
Right.
One,
right.
two.
Three.
Three. There you go.
Uh-huh.
We can do this all day.
Yeah. So.
I like he says one, two,
yo,
and you ask
now does
three?
This work?
I say brie. You say fuck that party. Brie.
Fuck that party.
Brie.
Fuck that party. So you're pretty big in Wisconsin, I know, but what about...
Yo, I'm huge in Wisconsin. I'll be fucking everybody in Wisconsin. All the ladies love brie. You know what I'm saying? They love me.
Yeah.
M-N-O-P.
Is it D apostrophe?
If you want it to be.
Okay.
You know?
But other than the dairy states, is this working well for you? Like in New York,
outside of
Chicago?
Wisconsin, I sold about 100,000 records in Wisconsin.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's a
Chicago, I just sold two.
Oh, okay. So less of a dairy oriented.
Yeah, not so many people into dairy rap. You know what I'm saying? But are we trying to do it before we take a crap? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I'm trying to get this done.
Would that
be a rap?
Would we keep?
You see what I'm saying?
No, that's good.
Because when the breeze done, that pussy flap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got it.
You
got
to grab the brie cheese all the way in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it should be like, oh, you know it'd be nice?
Yeah,
I'm
tell
not telling
me.
You how to run your business.
Yeah, you better not, you cracker-ass motherfucker.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like we... Oh, cracker. Okay.
Yeah,
you
don't
say you can leave race out of this.
Debris don't like crackers. You know what I'm saying?
I got it. In your world, understood. Okay, I'm not offended. What I'm saying is... debris, like when we do your thing, like at iTunes.
Yeah, yeah.
In the dairy section.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Like good idea.
Or in the chilled section, the refrigerated section. Oh, you know what I mean? Not you're chilled. Right. You know what I mean? Chilled. In the chilled section. Not that iTunes physically has a refrigerated section, but I like that, you know, conceptually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Conceptually. That's actually the album cover. The album cover is kind of like a refrigerator.
Oh, refrigerator.
Like a
refrigerator.
Like with plastic flaps.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Keep the cold in.
Keep the cold in.
Yeah, leave the hot out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Grab a piece of brie and stick it in your motherfucking mouth.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know it's not a good... You know you haven't landed where you wanted to land career-wise.
I got another album idea called Dick Cheese.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah. Follow-up.
That's the follow-up. That's a sophomore CD.
I was going to say, if one of those big plastic flap, that big curtain flaps that you walk through to keep the back of the refrigerated section from... If that one of those curtains ever knocks your paper hat off... Or your hairnet, you have not landed career-wise where whatever you're dreaming of in high school did not come to fruition.
That's a good tell.
If one of those flaps knocks your hat off.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I used to work before I became a rapper.
At the store.
At the store.
In the dairy section.
In the dairy section.
Hey, can I ask you this?
There you go. Let's talk to rap and start the flow. You know what I mean?
3, 2, 1.
Fuck you. I got a gun. Grab that spoon and start some fun.
Yeah.
Dip breeze in your mouth.
Oh, can I ask you this?
Fuck you, hon. See? It's easy, B.
Really
I'm familiar with your kid who rapped, Small Curd.
Oh, Small Curd. Yo, Small Curd's the shit, yo.
Yeah, that guy's good.
Yeah, he's real good. That's my sidekick, yo.
I don't really even know the difference why I should... Even think about why is there not a medium curd? I feel like there's a large curd and a small curd. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because small curds always taste better with French fries.
Oh, is that small curd?
Yeah, what's that?
Hey, what's happening,
Big
small
fan,
curd?
Man.
Hey, man, I dig your product, man.
Oh, thanks, man. You just put me on some French fries and some gravy. I'm delicious.
But
you eat me by myself. Ain't that good?
No, but I'll
you
do a little
gravy and French fries.
I'll do a little blueberry and honeys on you. You know, the blueberries and scatter them over you and put a little honey on you, small curd.
It's part of my French. But what the fuck did you just say?
Wow.
I just said I could put some blueberries and some honey on you.
No, that's don't ever put aggressive. Blueberries and honey on me, man.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Gravy, man.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Gravy and French fries.
A poutine.
Poutine. Yeah. Poutine. Okay.
I got a new album called I'm Gonna Lick Your Poutine Clean. You know what I'm saying? That's coming out in January also with my boy Debris.
Yeah, my album's coming out as well.
When is Cutting the Cheese drop?
Cutting the Cheese dropping in January along with my boy little Curd, yo. We got an album together.
I don't want to tell you how
to. Being cheesy.
Is it called Fondant?
Yes, it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I just feel like you're limiting yourself with this cheese-based rap,
with this dairy rap.
I feel like if you'd open it up to like the deli section
charcuterie. Yeah, I like charcuterie.
You know, sliced meats, things of that nature, canned.
Fuck that meat. You know what I mean?
Bolognese and loaf-type meats.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking very limited. Or maybe we take it out of the store altogether. We just do rap.
One thing at a time, buddy.
Okay.
You're the A&R man.
I'm just I worked in radio for a while. Anyway, Debris.
On the count of three, when I say three, 1, 2, 3, say Brie. 1, 2, 3.
Brie.
1, 2, 3.
Brie.
That's what I'm saying. See, I get all kinds of parties going. You know what I'm saying? How much fun is this party?
It's pretty fun. It's good for a cheese-based
That's
party.
That's what I'm saying, yo.
Get hype.
All right, Carl's up there.
Don't forget, lick your poutine.
Hold on.
All right, make sure you lick
Small
your poutine.
Curd, hold on now. Hey,
yo,
I don't feel like
Can you just plug it real quick, Adam?
Lick your poutine?
You want to lick my poutine?
When's that dropping again?
It's Tuesday? It's coming out January.
Yeah. Okay, we'll look for that.
Lick your poutine.
We'll look for that.
Yeah. Gravy and fries.
Gravy and fries.
There you go.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, we'll have you back on the show when it drops.
When I say Brie, say put it in your mouth. Brie.
Put it in your mouth.
Brie.
Put it in your mouth. Hey, Carl.
I feel like we're duped.
No.
Yeah. Saying that. You're on.
Just another commercial, but you're going to want to listen to this one because I met the AIS guys. They actually came over to my other shop, Mark and Susan. They're nice. They liked my cars. I said, good. Insure them, please. So, they sell car insurance, but it's done with a little bit of a twist. They do a smart quote technology, compares the rates and coverages of lots of insurance companies. Then you pick your price. Doesn't get any simpler than that. AIS saves its customers an average of $640 when you switch. Insurance rates are rising fast. You have to compare to save.
best ways to let AIS do the shopping for you. So why not? Give them a call at 800-777-4AIS. Or you just go online at AISinsurance.com/Adam and say hi to Mark and Susan for me.
And that was Joe Coy's cheese and a little bit of the Adam and Drew show talking about the hard cheese. Now, the reason they got into that is because a listener named Matt, who lives up in Northern California, came by with a cooler full of cheeses, hard cheeses, and Adam loved him. Another funny thing about this guy, Matt, is he is really into claymation, and he made an exact replica of our studio, like the size of a shoebox. And it's so detailed. It was insane. So he finally finishes it. He sends it to me, and I think, this is incredible. And weirdly, that day, we remodeled our studio.
Did he include the baby powder in the bathroom that's not really there?
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, there is a mini Tom Sizemore walking out of the door.
That request was from Victoria. She actually had two requests. Her second one was to hear Joe Coy as the sushi restaurant owner who was intimidating Adam, which is the P.F. Chang's bit. There's a couple different versions of that. And we're actually going to play that tomorrow, a preview for what's coming up tomorrow on Sunday's Cruel Classics, available via the separate Cruel Classics feed. So if you want to hear what's going on today, tomorrow, there's some continuation. Today, we're going to have another clip that's going to be from the morning show pertaining to the Terry Mosier street fight. And then the very first clip on tomorrow's episode is an Outlook August segment from the morning show where Mike August and some other people managed to book Terry Mosier himself, the guy that hit Adam with the bat. We're also going to play that clip that was requested by Victoria, her second clip. We're going to play a clip of Andy Daly, Joe Coy, Gina Grand, Brian Bishop that has the requested sushi or P.F. Chang's bit. And then we're going to play Barry Martyr and Beth Kennedy. This was the Letters from a Nut Guy again. This was the first time he was on before the time he came out with Patrick Warburton. That's a listener request. We're going to play Nick Offerman's first appearance when he came in studio and Adam and him met for the first time and bonded over carpentry. There's a funny call from a listener in there. And we're going to play a funny clip from the morning show of what Adam did while he was drunk during the Super Bowl in 2008.
So make sure to tune in and subscribe to Corolla Classics, a podcast, if you want to hear those clips. All right. We got a couple more clips in this show to play for you. And this one is a listener request from Greg. He writes, "Gentlemen, my family's really enjoyed the Classics podcast. Oh, he's sharing it with his family. I love that."
Yeah.
All right. The clip I want is a conversation between Adam and a musician, maybe Ben Lee, which featured a discussion of "What a Fool Believes" by the Doobie Brothers. He was a cool guest and a great musician. Keep up the great work, Greg.
I found it. Hello, Greg. It's Adam Carolla Show 1022. You're looking forward. It's with Grant Lee Phillips and Dave Damashek during the Allison Rosen era. Of course, Brian Bishop's there as well. It's from February 2013. He's only been on this one time. I hope he comes back on again soon. This was hilarious. Adam Carolla Show 1022.
Go.
Thunder on the mountain, there's lightning in the sky.
Yeah, we's back with Grant Lee Phillips, Grant Lee Buffalo, Walking in the Green Corn, name of the new album, available on iTunes, and you know what to do. You go to iTunes, you go to adamcarolla.com, you click on the banner, and you put a little wind in the sail of our pirate ship. Good to see you, Grant Lee.
Good to see you. Hey there.
I like you already, man.
Well, thank you.
You got a great vibe, man.
Well, thank you. We met years ago, you know.
Where the back hell were
on,
we?
It was late one night on the Love Line. Out on the Love Line.
Normally people walk out of that show,
man. Well, no. I mean, I felt a little ill-equipped in some ways, you know, not being a professional and all in terms of working on a real crisis line. So that part I felt a little bit, maybe like a little bit above my head.
You ever run into guys from Buffalo, Springfield, and like throw down?
No. Like, I would like to.
Like,
I would
pull
like
a knife
to.
Out and go, come on, I'll cut you.
Have like a little buffalo war?
Yeah, a little buffalo war. Come on,
no, we
do
have
it.
Not.
Come
we
on, old man. Buffaloed. Bring your pick.
Oh, man. I love Neil Young too much.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't pull out a shiv on my hero.
Who do you like? Who are some of the guys who you listen to growing up or who you like now? And well, don't do that bullshit move where you name nine bands and we have to pretend like we know.
Right,
That.
I'm really into this. Kelly Clarkson was a big influence.
Kelly Clarkson?
Yeah.
That's cool. I
just
know
started
that
listening to music.
Music, yeah. We like that, too.
No, you know, I mean, yeah, obviously, like Neil Young was a big one for me because, you know, being a songwriter and a guitar player. Beatles, of course. I'm a child of, I'm probably like a year older than yourself. So I grew up in that era of great, you know, Bowie, glam rock. It all was side by side, you know.
Hunky Dory's a great album.
I love that record. I love that's it a big one, actually, yeah.
Hunky Dory's great because it's weird and it's different and it's like very un-Bowie. And in a sense that if you only know Bowie from the radio,
then
Hunky Dory will surprise you.
That's true, because it's like you kind of feel like you're hearing his demos in place. You know, like this one's called Andy Warhol.
Well, that one does sound like a demo.
It's actually
That part makes you feel like you're high.
Yeah, I love that record. Like it's all wrong. I love it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm surprised
to hear that you were into that record, though.
Well, it's weird because I don't like David Bowie's stuff that they play on the radio that much, but like that weird older stuff is really cool. And he, I don't talk about, I'm always talking about John Hyatt and Graham Parker and Jayhawks and guys like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But David Bowie did some really cool stuff.
Oh, of course. I saw your John Hyatt poster outside right next to Evel Knievel, who was my other big influence.
Well, so let's talk about you. You grow up where?
I grew up in Stockton, California, which is straight north of here, about 6 hours.
And always into music?
Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, I was a child magician when I was 10, and then I found my way into music when I turned about 14, something like that, started writing songs.
Magician usually means a lot of downtime at home.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of abuse in the I grew up I had doves. I had two doves.
Oh, really?
And I would perform, you know. I would go with my mother would take me to perform at like a men's club or Pixie Woods was our amusement park.
Did you get these doves specifically for your magic act?
I did. Yeah, wow. Yeah. My great grandmother they raised birds, and so that was an easy one, you know. I'd get some doves. Put them in a pan full of fire and pluck them out of there, you know.
Yeah. It's a good thing they didn't raise badgers. It would have been a disaster, man.
It would have been
traveling, but I've been here with badgers.
I'm in the valley, though. I mean, I know you grew up in the valley. Oh, yeah. I've been here since '83 in the valley.
I always think of magicians as wildly like antisocial, because
that's probably true.
And so here's their thing. For the most part, they don't talk and they make things disappear.
Yeah, and basically
it's not a social move. Like I remember, I was in Vegas once, and I just saw a guy, and he didn't say a word. He's like, and then you just go like that, and whatever he hit would just sort of chick would disappear, and then the lion would disappear. And I thought this is kind of symbolically antisocial. He's not talking, and he's taking away everything that I love.
Yeah.
His name's Teller, and he's a legend now.
But there was like, you know, I mean, Houdini. That was a big one growing up. You know,
how much did Houdini talk?
You know, I don't know. I think that maybe there's some recordings of him talking. But
really?
I think there are. A squeaky sort of wax cylinder.
Are there any chatty magicians? Because that could be a drag.
Well, Penn will.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Don't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, there's like David Copperfield, right? He talks. And David Blaine, right? He's like a, he seems like he must be hitting you up for
no, he doesn't talk that much.
The Amazing Jonathan is a very verbose.
Is he?
Yeah.
Ricky Jay.
No, I know when he cuts his fingers off and stuff like that. I remember. By the way, I you ever have that sort of thing where you go, you're passing a nightclub. I was in Vegas and said Amazing Jonathan. I was like, and I was just in a car with Charles, who does a little work over there, and I was like, Amazing Jonathan. He's like, fuck that guy. And I'm like, what? Fuck him. He sucks. And I'm like, he does. No, he's fucking horrible, man.
I think I was in that car.
Yeah.
We're going to the airport.
We're going to the airport. And I was like, first off, how do you have such strong feelings about someone I don't even know? I never really think. I mean, he wears a bandana and he cuts his fingers off on Letterman and Blood. Oh, he's so fucking bad. Oh. Fucking hate that fucking guy. And I'm like, really? Oh, so this fucking shot. People are just leaving. He's fucking brutal, man. And I was like, wow, he's so animated about
it. Not that bad.
I've never met anyone that animated about
it. It's his life's work to make sure that he hates him. He hates him.
You've never heard someone with a stronger opinion on the Amazing Jonathan.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen him. Never heard him.
He's awful.
He's awful.
Is he?
Fucking. You wish he'd cut your head off.
Oh.
Yeah. So I never. It was weird. I kind of wish we'd never brought it up, to tell you the truth, because it was all the way to the airport.
Oh, okay, buddy. Okay.
Fuck that guy. Yeah, thank God. You were in the car.
I think,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. So you move to the valley.
Yeah.
You start. You start. You give up the magic wand. You pick up the guitar.
That's right.
And
that's
you start playing music.
That's right. That'll happen in maybe 14, 15, something like that. But then maybe 19, 20, that's when I moved to L.A. And with a, you know, I have a Plymouth Satellite full of magic tricks and a Charlie McCarthy and a banjo and an amplifier, and it all came with me.
And
my dreams.
And by the way, I like Cinnamon Girl.
Cinnamon Girl, that's a Neil Young song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you play that riff?
Do I know it? You should have him on.
I think it's just going to happen. Yeah.
Right? Something
like
that?
Yeah, that's it. That's
it. I love cinnamon. It's good for your blood.
That's what they say.
Cinnamon, cardamom, all those things.
Yeah, you got to eat that cinnamon, girl. So, Grant, you want to play a song for us?
I'd love to.
What song would you like to play?
Well, you know what? I was thinking about playing a song called Walking on the Green Corn. It's the title track of this self-released album of mine. Not Grantley Buffalo, by the way, but of myself.
Grantley Phillips.
Exactly.
And is Grantley Buffalo's got a live record that's coming out in the spring.
We do, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Live at the Royal Festival Hall, a show from London.
Ooh, cool. Mm-hmm. Now, how's Grantley Buffalo received overseas?
Traditionally, it's been really strong overseas, more so overseas than here, I would say.
Why? Well, I mean, I know anything that's good is more appreciated somewhere else.
I don't know. I don't know how you can...
Your own house?
Yeah, I suppose.
It's like the further you get away from your house, the more people appreciate it. Like, everyone who lives with you is like, knock it off with a guitar, would you there, Grant? Give me a headache.
Daddy, stop talking.
I'm watching Wheel of Fortune here. Could you knock it off?
Right.
But then if you get a little further from your house, but listen, it's the same way with stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the fucking El Portal Theater in North Hollywood where I grew up. I gotta blow a guy to get 375 people in there. But I go to Boston, there's 1,400 people.
Right.
And you go to Washington, D.C., there's 1,500 people. You go to Seattle, there's 2,000 people. I grew up in North Hollywood. I can't get 400 people to fucking theater. So you have to go far. And I'm guessing the people who live in Seattle have to come out to North Hollywood to draw a crowd. There's some sort of exchange program or something that goes on.
I think since Jerry Lewis, right? Since he was big in France, it's been like that.
Life would be a lot easier for David Hasselhoff,
you and me, if we could
just not go to an airport. Yeah. Cash, you know, to get a payday.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So, London.
London. Yeah. 2011. We hadn't played together for like 15 years, you know.
Yeah.
We had been on your show that night, and maybe a year or two later, that was it. We were kind of extinct for 15 years and then just decided, let's see what this feels like as old men. Let's check it out, you know. Mm-hmm. And we did a couple years ago, and it was really fun, and we recorded it, and we've done a few shows since then.
And are all the guys just spread out around Los Angeles?
Yeah, we're sort
somewhere?
Of spread out. Yeah. Some of us are in L.A. Some of us are up in the northern parts.
So this is from Walking in the Green Corn, and that's a Phillips, not a Buffalo.
That's right.
All right.
Should I make my way towards that microphone?
Go ahead.
We'll do it.
Okay, imagine this. To that. Grant Lee Phillips, everybody.
Blow away black tornado, blow away troubled sky, blow away disappointment and all the worried days gone by. Ready for the crops to ripen, leaving all the rest behind. Welcome that sun, looking forward to better times. Walking in green corn, walking in the field so high, walking in the green corn of life. Blow away the dust forever, tear up those seeds of doubt, blow away and roll on out like some dark cloud. Been a long time coming, been a long time for sure. Welcome that harvest, got a world worth waiting for. Walking in green corn, walking in the field so high, walking in the green corn.
acorn of life. Blow away black tornado, blow away twisted horn, scatter on home, swear you won't come round no more. Ready for the crops to ripen, leave it all worse behind. Welcome that rain, looking forward to better times. Walking in green corn, walking in the field so high, walking in the green corn of life. Walking in the green corn, walking in the field so high, walking in the green corn of life. Green corn of life.
Grant Lee Phillips, Walking in the Green Corn, and a special shout out to Dawson, who does a fantastic job engineering this stuff and dialing it in. I mean, it just, I mean, obviously I get some credit for building the studio and the acoustics in here and all the sweat equity that went into this. And obviously it's laid out in such a way where, you know, a great performer like Grant Lee Phillips can be fully realized. But Dawson.
And don't forget you paid for everything.
Oh, and I paid for everything. Yeah. Right. But still, what was Dawson doing?
It's twiddling knobs.
Okay, yeah. He did something with a potentiometer, and for that, he deserves a smattering of applause.
Points for you, Ace Man. Potentiometer. Who went to Pinnacle College?
Well, I'll tell you, it was one of my first questions when I got into radio, because I think I said to Jimmy, whenever they would say, pot that up, pot that guy up, pot that person down, I was like, pot? What the hell's pot? Why does it say pot? What is it? And they said, potentiometer.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so they pot him down or pot his cans up. Mm-hmm. So always pot him up. So that was a big deal.
Well, you could be an engineer now.
Yeah, look out, whoever the famous engineer person is. So I'm coming for you. It's never a good sign when you can't think of the name of the person.
Dawson, Anderson. Who's the famous engineer?
You could say Barry Rudolph.
Look out, Larry. What's his name? I'm coming for you. Yeah, no, it means it probably doesn't pay as well as it could.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, hey, man, I got moves like Michael Jordan, or I'm better than Justin Timberlake or whatever it is. Like, Dustin. That means there's money. Yeah, Larry.
Dustin Timberlake is the lesser known of the Timberlakes.
They're better.
Actually, Ace, I can't believe both of us forgot this, but the number one engineer you should be talking about.
Should we say on the count of three? One, two, three.
Alan Parsons.
All right. Yeah, not that I knew that he was an engineer, but I knew that it had been 81 minutes since Dawson had said the words Alan and Parsons, the names together.
What happens if the thing flips over and it's 82? Oh,
you see, lost?
Well, like they say, you know, they have those things at factories, like days since accidents, and then we have days since Dawson, or hours since Dawson has not either summoned Alan Parsons or talked about something avocado related.
That's true.
Summoned.
It's absolutely true.
It's a seance.
Summoned up Alan Parsons. No, nice job, because honestly... And you get some credit for playing the song.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
But it just really sounded so beautiful. Crisp and so beautiful.
Well, thank you. It's the mangria. Hey,
not always easy to pull off.
Since we're busting Dawson's chops, it's a perfect time to mention that Lisa Loeb will be coming in next week.
Oh!
All right, let's tell the story now so Grant Lee knows all about it.
Yeah, you're going to need to.
One time, Dawson, when I was doing a morning show... When I was doing a morning show, it's been 2008 or something like that. He showed up in shants that didn't have gravy on them, and I said, "Whoa, what's the occasion?"
Dress shants.
Yeah, Yeah.
Like my cans off.
Yeah, he
my
was wearing flip-flops that were like only 4 to 6 years old. And I said, "What is the occasion, Dawson?" And he said, "Lisa Loeb's coming in today." And I said, "Yeah?" And he said, "She does that single show, you know, the number one hit single or whatever it is. She did that like VH1 single, like Lisa Loeb's single and looking for a date
show."
Oh,
right. Show. I remember that.
Right. 40 and yeah. single?
Was that no, it was
number
called
one
like,
single.
Number one oh. single, right. And she's cute as a button and she sounds great and writes fun songs and everything like that. And I said, "So what of it, Dawson?" And he said, "We're going out." And I said, "You're going out?" Yeah. And I said, "How's that going to work?" And he said, "I'm going to ask her out." I said, "Well, that don't mean you're going out. You can apply for a job at the Pentagon, but it doesn't mean you're going to be working there." And he said, "Well, she's single." And I said, "Yeah, I know. But, well, at least in the TV show, she's single, but that don't mean she's going out with you. Well, you have access to every – by the way, I'd get divorced tomorrow if I thought those were the rules." Lynette, no offense, but you know what I'm saying. The rules aren't because you're single, you must date me. The right. rules are you have to sign off on this request.
So some sort of positive affirmation.
Yeah, I said to Dawson, this is not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. That information confused Dawson more than anything. And I said, all right, well, go ahead and ask her. I'm not telling you not to ask her out. I'm just saying, don't start, you know, planning it, the date out just yet until you get confirmation from her. And he said, "Yeah, a little confused by the exchange."
Long story short, they're married.
Long story short, she came in an hour later, sang a song, split. And I said, "Did you ask her out?" And he went, "Yeah." And I said, "What happened?" "No, that's okay." And I thought, let this be a lesson to you and everyone else.
Who, she must have terrible taste in men.
No. To never try. Ever. And I hope there's young people listening. Now, here's the good news and the bad news, Dawson. She's not going to remember this exchange.
I know. And I'm happy about that.
Can you do
the
a little...
The bad news, till he tells her.
Till I tell her. No, the bad news is she's not going to remember the exchange, meaning there's a song... By the Doobie Brothers, called "What a Fool Believes."
Oh, right.
And,
"What a Fool Believes."
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Get really
that's
on the mic.
Exactly
singing.
What it sounded like. That's right. That's right. If you get the lyrics to that song, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. That's exactly
it. The white man has the power. It's a white supremacist song. You wouldn't know it because he mumbles.
It's an interesting song, and if you break it down, it's basically just about it. It's about a guy who thinks he had a relationship with a chick, but she doesn't remember who he is.
Ah, right.
If you really just break it down.
Is it because he didn't enunciate?
Their lyrics are right over there. Yeah.
Well, Kenny Loggins, co-writer.
Yeah.
He really.
Yeah.
He
came from somewhere back on a long ago.
Join me.
Yeah,
good. No,
trying hard to recreate what it yet to be created. Once in her life, she mustered a smile for his nostalgic tale. Never come to live only to realize it never really was. Now, see, now this is where it gets cruel. She had a place.
Had a place in his life.
No, no, go up.
Oh, really? From there?
No, she. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
there it is.
Oh, that's right. Had a place in his heart.
Right. Now, here's where it gets sad.
He never met her there twice.
That's the sad
part. As he rises to her apology, everybody has put her been on.
That was everyone else who worked at KLSX at the time.
He's watching her go.
Sad.
Mm-hmm.
What a fool believes.
Yeah.
He sees.
Now, where's the white supremacist?
The wise man.
Oh.
It's the wise man. It's not the white man. I'm sorry. The wise man has the power.
Same difference.
Yeah.
To reason away.
That's right. All right.
Yeah.
You get the,
it's
you
a
get,
hit!
It's kind of an interesting song.
That was magical.
And a little sad as well.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You really
Michael McDonald.
We gotta get
I think we can get Michael McDonald on the show.
You can get Mike McDonald on the show?
I think with a couple of phone calls.
All right.
We got to get Dag in here singing
like there's someone
vocals.
Who knows him?
Yeah, well, yeah, that would be the first phone call. That would be the very first one that would have to be made.
It can't be random phone calls.
No, it's really possible. The guy, when I went on tour with Alan Parsons in South America, the guy who was our stage manager, I mean, the guy who was the production manager, mm-hmm. Is Michael McDonald's front of house guy.
And that has to do with avocados. Why?
Because guacamole is good.
Yes. All right. So we will. Can we hear that? Do you have that song, Brian, somewhere? It's a little underrated. It gets lost. People think a little too much about China Grove.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know what? It's got the bongo in it from the if you like pina colada. It's got a little like Rupert Holmes in it. I think the problem.
Holmes.
Yeah. Did anyone ever know what this song was about?
Mm-mm. White power.
Yeah, it's like your mind just kind of writes stuff off, or you kind of move ahead. It's like, it's a little popcorn ditty, but it's got some truth to it. It's kind of interesting, and it's got some depth to it. Now, you got to join in here, Grant. Right, here we go. Crank it up. Had a place in his life. You gotta use the mic. There you go.
Is that better?
Never make a thing twice. As he rises to her apology, everybody likes the sound alone. Alright. Good song, yeah. If you ever listen to some Steely Dan stuff, Michael does some pretty stellar work in the background. That'll be it. When we get him in, we'll talk nothing but Steely Dan.
Oh, Ride Like the Wind, too. He appears. He makes a cameo. Kind of a Hitchcockian kind of cameo.
He makes a song. Any song that has a bongo or congo in it.
Right.
That song, he's immediately attracted to. Do you have a little?
Gonna ride like the wind.
Someone could play a bongo somewhere and he shoots up in his bed.
Right.
Song?
Ride Like the Wind. Sorry. No, we'll find that one somewhere. Gotta have it somewhere. You listen to the Congo Bongo whatever.
Congo Unchained, we call it.
We'll find it.
You can really find
I do not.
Bongo music.
We don't have that. What the hell is going on in this country, Bald Brian? Grantley Phillips, by the way, the music, Walking in the Green Corn, available again on Amazon as we speak. We'll see, just to hear that beginning drum thing, just that hand slapping the skins. But if we don't have it, Mike, he's going to find it. Mike will have it somewhere. Mike has an iPod with 80,000 songs on it or something. Let's see. And, Michael McDonald does some pretty stellar backup on that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Steely Dan, Red Light Point.
No, not Steely Dan.
Christopher Cross, right?
Oh, sorry. Screwed you up with that. Hear the bongo. Likes anything with a bongo. Yeah. All right, Grantley, knock yourself out. I got to say, make fun of the song all you like. If it comes on the radio, I ain't changing it. And I may sit in my car. Back when guys used to write songs about being on the run, on the road. Gotta hurry, gotta get to the next town.
Crisscross.
Make love to my next lady. Oh, here, Michael.
Just a long way to go.
By the way, you don't have to say border Mexico. We know where you're going. You're not going to Canada, for Christ's sake. That Christopher Cross was an outlaw. You should see him.
It's written all over his face.
Yeah. Here comes Michael. such a long way to go. All right. All right. He's got that bongo that he likes. That must have been his decision-making process. Like, is that a cool kind of conga beat? I'm in.
Yeah.
But. All right. Grant Lee Phillips, everybody. Keep it up as we go out. What the hell? Thank you so much for coming in. Always a good time. And, of course, Allison Rosen and Bald Brian and Dawson for being a good sport. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I like it when my boyfriend defecates on me.
All right, we're back, and that was Grant Lee Phillips on the Adam Carolla Show doing a little duet with Mr. Carolla.
It was so funny, man. When I was cutting that clip, I was laughing, then I had to listen to it afterward to make sure the whole clip was there. I didn't really have to, but I just wanted to. So funny.
I agree, man. And we have another clip, another listener request. This is from Ryan Hall again, and he writes, or accuses, I heard you talking about the origins of black simile coming from Adam and him talking about sports team mascots. I think it came from a day or two after Michael Clark Duncan died and Adam talked about replacing him with Ving Rhames. So, early September 2012. Thanks, guys. Love your work. Ryan, what do you think, Gio?
Well, Ryan, if it is your real name. Adam Carolla Show 904 featuring Ian Morris, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop. This is from September 2012. It was released on the 6th, right after Michael Clark Duncan died. Okay, right where he said it would be. Adam mixes up Ving and Michael, but the term is not used in black simile, putting the origin sometime between 904 and 910, if not on 910 as previously established, which was the episode with Dave Damaschek, Jay Glazer that we played, where they flippantly said black simile almost as if they had discussed it before. So there may be an actual origin that exists between 904 and 910. I'll have to go back and do a deeper dive, but as Ryan requested, so we found. Check it out.
All right, what else we got? Got anything else?
I sure do. Mm. Well, Michael Clark Duncan from the Green Mile passed away. Mm. He was 54. It was from complications of a heart attack. And he was engaged to be married to Omarosa. Mm. The Omarosa.
What? Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to be getting married in January.
Wow. Man, that's sad. What the... well, first off... Was the guy juicing? See, here's the thing, and I always believe it's quietly racist. When a white guy's built like that, you go, oh, please, come on. When a black guy's built like that, you go, wow, that guy's in incredible shape. But you don't go steroids. It's sort of racist to go, oh, that guy's just black, and so he's allowed to be built that way. But he's one of those guys that I sort of want him around. I just want him around. I don't have any use for him, but I want him around. Yeah, sad. Yeah. I wonder if he was juicing. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. Probably not. You know why? That was stupid of me to say. Because people are allowed to die. A certain amount of people just die in their 50s, and certain make it into their 80s and 90s, and some do in their 30s. So just everyone wants to know why. But didn't... Wow. Look at him. Wasn't...
His giant breasts.
Wasn't... didn't he have a situation a few years ago where he had, like, bull mastiffs or Rottweilers or something that like chewed some babysitter's face off or something like that.
I don't remember
that. Does he have a situation?
That is not in this story about him.
All right. It's either him or another huge man of color.
Well, this is a stirring tribute.
He's just warming
he
up.
He had like Akitas or something, and someone was like house sitting his place in Beverly Hills, and somebody got chewed on. Now, who was that massive black man? I was either him or Jackie Slater. No one would know that except for me. A lot of bad references this show.
Is it back to the 70s?
I think it was. I really think it was him, but we'll figure it out. Michael figured out. Oh, it was Ving Rhames. All right. She can't blame me for that.
That's he's like, a buff black man.
That's a 55-year-old buff black man scary with a bald, shaved head, right?
Ving Rhames was much scarier than Michael Clark Duncan. Michael Clark Duncan was affable.
Yeah, affable, but once he took his took his shirt off. Yeah, tell that to those 22-inch pythons.
Now, did you know that he was with Omarosa? Do you have any feelings about that? Did you watch her on Apprentice? Do you know who she is?
She was on the radio show.
I think Omarosa figured out the game pretty early on, which is, I, you know, I can't sing. I'm not a comedian, but I do have an act, and that act is being a colossal cunt, and that works well. And and we now, sadly, live in a society that rewards people for even horrible behavior and outrageous behavior. And then she sort of became – and it's hard to tell – did the cunt come first, or did she move into Cunt Castle, or who built Cunt Castle first? Was
and
there a princess?
Like?
I think those casting directors, they look for that, though.
Let me tell you about the moat. Sorry.
The casting directors, I think casting directors for those sorts of shows are often looking for a bit of cuntiness.
Oh, sure.
They're really, they've got a very finely tuned for people that are going to go full cunt, I think.
And they don't even want a dusting of cunt. They want a cunt blizzard. But they want a cunt out.
A cuntnado.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Cumpocalypse, anyone?
But then once you're aware of what you're doing, you tend to double down on it because you, just like a child who gets like a response.
Rewarded for it, yeah.
Out of people. And then you sort of become a caricature of yourself. I said this is kind of what Donald Trump has done. Donald Trump didn't go, oh, shit, everyone's making fun of my hairstyle, and then go into Fantastic Sam's and go, we got to do something with this. He went, we got to fucking double down on the comb-over. I mean, you think his hair got crazier after people started making fun of his hair. Why? We're talking about his hair. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
I think Omarosa did that. Well, anyway, Ving Duncan will be missed.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
All right. Go to meeting. See, the guy who got chewed up by Ving Rhames' dogs should have been using go to meeting instead of walking up the guy's entry path.
If only.
Yeah. And he knows it. I recommend go to meeting with HD Faces.
I got no one to blame myself.
That's true. Look, when's the last time Nikita jumped out of your laptop and mauled you?
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
But for some people, never.
All right, and that was possibly the origin of the origin of the origin of Black Simile. Who knows?
The inspiration.
Yeah, the inspiration. Okay, this last clip of the day. I'm really excited. Talked about it a little earlier, Gio. And this is, we're going back to the radio show, back to 2006.
This is Adam Carolla's show, KLSX, from September 12th, 2006. Adam tells the story of Terry Mosier in the streets fight. This is where he gets the baseball bat to the knee. There's also Colin from somebody named Tiffany. And then tomorrow on Carolla Classics, you will hear the Outlook August segment where they actually have Terry Mosier call in to give his side of the events of the fight. And basically confirming everything that Adam says, aside from a couple details where he has to make a guy shorter to make it less impressive. You'll be hearing that tomorrow, but until then, here's the probably best telling of the fight story you'll ever hear. Check it out.
Rodeo, but I will tell another one of my many personal stories.
Give us a hint. What's the topic?
Well, I have a whole list that somebody gave us that I forgot about. I will tell Dave Damashek's personal one. It involves my buddy Ray, but it's like a three-parter. Involves fighting and loving.
This is one
it's
of
the manliest
favorites.
Story I have.
Oh, good.
We'll do that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. With Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
Down goes Frasier. Down goes Frasier.
You dirty little bitch. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I was on adamcarolla.com, and somebody made a list of stories they remember me telling in days of yore, and put a whole big list of them on there, and I thought, well, it'd be nice to share this with the newer audience, stories you haven't heard me tell before from my past, because I was one of you and then some. Oh, believe you me.
You really weren't one. You weren't a normal person. Your stories involve, you know, most people's stories, they naughty little comments from the back of the classroom and being deemed a class clown or something. That's normal people. Yours involve throwing poop and pee.
Yes, your friend Ray actually threw his feces at your head and into your ear.
He actually, first off, you may be wrong in two accounts. It's unclear whether it was his
fecal matter or not. It could have been my buddy Chris's. And number two, he did not throw it. He put it in his hand.
And placed it lovingly.
Protected tastefully by a paper towel. Because he's not an animal, and he slapped it on the side of my neck as what a bear would do if it was fighting with a camper. Just boom, this big paw right on the ear and side of the neck.
To this day, you don't know whose fecal matter it was?
I'll tell you, you know, time has a way of turning fecal matter into sand through an hourglass.
Heavy.
Yeah, let's actually Ray's on the phone. Ray?
Hi.
I'm getting to another story here, but whose fecal matter was that you slapped on my neck in high school?
Could have been a combo.
Interesting.
Option three.
Yeah, what we call a suicide in the business.
Ah, got it.
True.
You know, soft swirl, sometimes you go with the 50-50 black and white.
It was like biology class.
It could have been Chris, could have been Ray. Although, Ray, here's how I know it was Chris. If it was yours, you wouldn't have had it in a paper towel.
Yeah, I agree.
When you delivered my beloved Rams beanie back to me like a lunch pail with a Duke in the bottom of it, that was yours.
That was mine.
Okay. All right, hang on a second, Ray. The reason I bring Ray into this is because he's involved with many of these stories, and he is he's a prominent player in this next story, which is a three-parter. It takes place over a year or so. And it really just, you could peel it like an onion. Now, just so people know, I will not exaggerate any of these stories. The truth itself sounds like an exaggeration. Many of the things that we actually did seem that way. Sometimes I'll come across as a hero. Other times I'll have S in my ear. But once in a while, there's a story where I do come off like, hey, wow, tough guy or good guy or sweet guy. Yes, I'm not gonna dumb myself down on that one. On the other hand, most of them end up with me getting something in my ear. Ones we can look forward to coming up is the time my buddy Snake insisted that he make out with a girl. Ray was making out with a chick that was Chris's girlfriend. And my buddy Snake caught him and said, I will go tell Chris if we don't make out right now. And Ray handed the girl over to Snake and watched him make out the love of his life.
Oh, can't believe this could have been my boyfriend.
I know, this could have been your future.
Is that true, Ray?
Absolutely true. Snake drunk and stinking and just going at it.
And Ray's like, honey, start making out. Chris was at the same party, you understand, right? Snake was drunk and would have gone into the party and screamed and would have torn the place down otherwise. So Ray did
that's the weekend I dislocated his shoulder, too.
They ended up getting into a fist fight with the Snake anyway. But the point, it dislocated his shoulder when he pulled a knife on him. But the point is he got to make out. I will tell the story of almost burning down my first girlfriend's house with wax that you use to remove eyebrow hair. I'll tell the story about me doing a flip in a door frame and landing on my head. Oh, man. It just keeps going and going and going. My Catholic little brother stuff. Yes. But this is Dave Damashek's favorite, so I'm gonna tell it. And Ray weaves in at a certain point here. I'm going to put Ray on hold because his line's a little fuzzy, but I'll bring him in as necessary. I went to, I guess it'd be sort of a makeout party. I had a couple of buddies, Jackie and Terry, and they had a couple of gals, and there was another gal for me, and somebody's folks were out of town. I was living out of the house. I must have been 19 or 20. These guys were a year or two younger than me. Maybe they were 18 or 19 when I was 20, 21. Living in my apartment with my buddy Chris and the Wheeze over there in North Hollywood. And I just went, hey, so-and-so's out of town. Folks got a decent house up in the hills. We're going to go up there and raid the liquor cabinet. Hopefully we'll all make out and get it on. This is going to be awesome. So I went out there. And Dave handed me a note that said explain DTR, which is don't tell Ray. Ray screwed up so many parties. Ray would go to parties and, you know, Ray would throw people in the pool and they'd yell, please just let me take my leather shoes off and my wallet out before you throw them in the pool. And Ray would toss them in the pool and then the wallet and the shoes would go right after them. So eventually, only way we could get to go to parties is if Ray didn't go to the parties, because people would explain to us, if Ray shows up, none of you are getting in. So we used to have DTR parties. And Ray would find out, and it was the only time I really saw his feelings hurt. You know, he'd say, "What are you guys doing Saturday?" And we'd go, "Oh, we're going to a party." And he'd go, "Great." And we'd go, "DTR."
Oh.
Ray, you did hate the DTR parties, did you not?
Well, yeah. In fact, I'm hurt thinking about it. All right.
Don't tell Ray. What's names of parties. Had their own names. All right, so the point is I go to this makeout party. It's just three or four people. I got my girl. Of course, the other two chicks are hot, and I get the fat, crazy one. Man, I'm not interested. There's not enough booze in the old man's liquor cabinet to make me interested. So while my buddies adjourn to the separate bedrooms and are happily getting it on with their hot young chicks, I'm just watching ESPN 5 in the den and getting drunk. Eventually, I decide it's time to leave. So I'm going to leave my buddies behind and just go home. Once again, drunk and defeated, I get up and I start heading out the front door. She wants to know where I'm going, but I say, I'm going to call tonight. She was batty. That part I do remember clearly. I start heading down the stairs. Well, as I start heading down the stairs outside the house, up come the stairs, hooligans. Guys look like gangbangers and a mixed breed. Kind you only see in the movies, you know, had the Japanese guy and the black guy and the Mexican guy all running in the same group. And they're all coming up the stairs as I'm coming down the stairs. And it's literally the kind of thing where it's, "Excuse me, fellas, I got to get by." She says from the top of the stairs, "He hit me."
What?
And she points at me.
Just because you were leaving.
I think what it is I had maybe embarrassed her because it was a makeout party and I did not deem her makeoutable. I would rather just go home, cut my losses and call the night. So she says that. Of course, these guys who are tough guys, and there's plenty of them, all sort of get around. "What are you doing hitting a girl? What are you doing?" Listen, I didn't do anything. I'm getting out of here. They start up. I explain. I went no trouble. I had knee surgery. I had arthroscopic knee surgery 3 or 4 days earlier.
ACL?
Yes. And I had still stitches in my
ATR.
Knee. And now, I'll tell you, it's the greatest commercial you could ever give for this because I was up on my feet and feeling good just 3 or 4 days later, but I still had stitches in my knee. So I tried to get past these guys and they kept with it. And eventually I said to them, "Listen, fellas," and maybe this was my problem because I was a little bit drunk. I said, "I'd love to fight, but I can't. I just got knee surgery, and, you know, Doc says no street fights." And the one guy piped up.
You got a note.
The one guy says, I'm gonna break your other knee," was his exact words
answer.
To me. And I said, "All right, well, now it's on." So then there's this stupid Marcus of Queensberry thing where I'm like, "All right, if your 4 or 5 hooligan friends promise to stay out of this, me and the scary Mexican guy will go out in the street and square off, but you guys need to back out. Now I have your words as gentlemen, right? Because he's bigger than I am. He's scarier than I am. I'm sure he'll beat me up. So let's just go out and do this. But you guys promise to stay out of the fray, right?" Okay. So we go out in the street and we start fighting. Like it's a movie.
And you're adrenaline.
And you're encircled by all the rogues. Yes.
Yeah. They're standing around and they're giving me and this guy, their tough guy, space to duke it out in the street in front of this nutty broad's house up in the Laurel Canyon Hills. So we're doing it and I'm beating the guy up. At the time, I was doing a little kickboxing, and it's all coming back to me, you know. And this guy's just a big drunken buffoon. And I whack him around a few times, and I punch him one time, and he just falls back into the group, and he never comes back out again. And now, this is probably problem number two. I start with the verbal taunts now.
Oh, no.
"Oh, wait. You know, 5 minutes ago, you were begging to fight. Well, here I am, and now this is it? This is all you got? I barely broke sweat. My adrenaline's going. I'm shouting this guy down, calling him a puss and everything. Next thing you know, I feel a stinging in my right shoulder. It's a beer bottle being broken on me. Not swung at me, thrown at me. Beer bottle, empty beer bottle, thrown at me, and it just explodes on my right shoulder. Doesn't cause a cut, doesn't tear
my
shirt.
Impossible.
You know, 100 times, 99 times, it's going to, you know, leave a gash, or it's not going to break. It's going to leave a bruise, or it's going to break your collarbone. It just hits in just such a way where it just explodes. No glass hits me in the eye or the face. I'm perfectly fine. It's just a beer. It's like you took a beer bottle and just threw it against a brick wall. All luck, but I'm fine. And then I feel a baseball bat on my left knee.
Oh.
Now, the right knee just had the surgery.
Right.
It was the left knee that the guy had. He didn't know which knee. I assume he thought he was getting the one that had surgery. But a full swing from a baseball bat, he came up behind me and swung at my knee. Now, he hits just above the knee on the meaty part of the thigh, and he hits me from behind. So about all I do is curtsy. I mean, if a guy, if you could give a guy one place to take a swing at you with a baseball bat, it would be the meaty part of your thigh just above your knee. And he took a full swing. But again, just as luck would have it, just like the beer bottle, it did nothing to me. Well, now these guys thought I was like on PCP or something.
They think you're a superhero.
Right. We just
super hit
the,
brow.
We break bat. We hit the guy at the bat. We hit the guy at the bottle. He just beats up our tough Mexican friend. So what a lot of guys would have done is just turn tail at that point. But they decided to all jump on me at that point. So after the beer bottle and the bat didn't work, then they all converged on the ace man. And then they began pummeling me. Eventually, I sort of broke free.
That's what I was going to say. Were you for a moment, you were obscured by the mass. And then you burst up like the Matrix.
They went flying.
They all flew away.
I actually ran. Unlike the Matrix, one of the guys.
Well, it was a fight or flight response.
Yes, the guy. Few of them popped me. Unclear who popped me in the mouth, but my lip got cut on my prodigious molars, and blood was going all over my conveniently white button-up shirt and everything. It was just bleeding all over the place, but I still felt fine. And now I wanted the brother man. There was a black guy in the group who did hit me with the uppercut. So me and him then squared off in some kind of crazy kung fu theater because he. Evidently had some training.
Uh-oh.
To the point where he was doing okay against me when eventually some neighbor came out and called the cops or whatever it is. It all broke up. And I went home and I had blood all over my shirt and I was all effed up and I staggered into my apartment and there was Ray and there was Chris. And what the hell happened after that, Ray?
We just saw you, and we were, like, in disbelief and asking what the hell happened. And you gave us the lowdown, and Chris and I headed up.
That's what friends do.
I like that.
Ray and Chris went up, and they were PO'd. And they went right up to the house, and they busted in, and the guys were still there, probably trying to make time with my crazy fat chick. And one of them pulled a knife on my buddy Chris, and he busted it.
He grabbed Chris Bohm grabs the knife out of the guy's hands and breaks it in half in front of the guy. And throws it at him. And then, Ray, what did you do?
I just gagged right, you know, haste, went after him, chased everybody.
So, yeah, these, but Ray and Chris are both more animal than man, especially at 19 or 20. So now the rest of the story goes that the guy who hit me, do you remember the guy's name who hit me with the bat, Ray?
Terry Mosier, I think.
That's the guy's name. Terry Mosier. I said, what kind of animal, after I announce I've had knee surgery, would come up behind me and take a swing at me with a baseball bat in my knee? So I wanted to kill this guy, and so did Ray, and so did Chris, but we could never find the guy. And it was New Year's. It was my buddy Umgad's house. Yes. Umgad Abu Zamzam.
In the end, do you wish you had just made out with the fat, crazy girl?
I should have just taken my lumps with her rather than with the bat. But we found him, or I shouldn't say we found him. It was New Year's, and I don't know if it was a year later or 2 years later, but it was at a New Year's party, and I was hooking up very rarely. I know this sounds like a macho story. I didn't fight that much. I didn't hook up with too many chicks. Just story just happens to connect my few islands of making out and fighting. Hooked up with a chick named Dominique, who for some reason always had it bad for me and was kind of hot. And we were in the bathroom during this party over at Umgad's house. And it was, you know, a sort of R-rated thing. You know, no nudity, but we were macking out in the bathroom with the door shut. And there was a pounding at the door. And who was it? Well, it was Ray pounding on the door. Ray, leave me alone. I'm right in the middle of something here. Adam, get out here, buddy. I got something to show you. What? What? Ray, leave me alone. I'm sporting wood. Get out. Come out now. I come out. He's got Terry Mosier in a headlock.
Wow.
He found.
And you had a bat, but it was in your pants.
That's right. He found him at the party a year or so later, found me in the bathroom, and then dragged him literally in a headlock over to the bathroom and started beating on the door until I came out. And then it was like, what are we going to do with him, boss?
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
Did it involve duct tape?
I do, Ray, I do appreciate that. All the horrible things I say about you, but But that kind of loyalty. Where are you going to get that kind of loyalty?
Crazy loyalty. Yes.
It was like big game hunting. I was so happy when he mentioned his name. I heard him talking to somebody. My name's Terry. Terry what? Terry Mosier. I got him.
I what happened to him?
He didn't even know Ray. He was at a party.
No, I just heard him. I heard him talking. He was mentioning his name.
The guy suddenly finds himself in a headlock and being dragged up a flight of stairs.
Now he knocks on the
Absolutely.
Door. And yes. What'd you guys do to him?
I was like, I was disoriented. I was drunk and had wood. I was first mad at Ray. What are you doing? And then secondly, oh my God, this is the guy who hit me with the bat. But the poor guy was pleading for his life because in his mind's eye, this was the guy he hit with the bat and it made him angry. This is the guy who beat up his two toughest friends. And this is the guy who got hit with the bottle and seemed to be fine with it. So I had superhuman strength in his mind. Also, Ray was no cream puff either. Ray's the guy who showed up at the house and started throwing him around. So the guy just started pleading with his life. It was New Year's, and I turned the page, so we just let him go. That I remember from...
That's a marvelous story, isn't it, really? Yeah. I envy that sort of machismo.
It ain't over.
Oh, part three.
There's a small addendum to it, which is then... Oh, my God. Must have been like 7, 8 years after this. I'm living in a crappy apartment in North Hollywood with my stripper girlfriend. And I've decided to sell my Nissan Mini truck, my mini pickup truck. And I'm out front waiting for people to come, for scary foreigners who picked up the recycler to come meet me out in front of the apartment. I'm just standing there in my shorts. It's a hot day. And here comes the world's most yoked, buff, scariest looking Mexican guy, and he's moving in to the apartment building. And I give him the, hey, just moving in? Uh-huh. Well, welcome to the building, neighbor. It was a smallish building, probably about 12 units. I'm up at 13B up there. And he's like, okay. And I thought, wow, this guy's scary. I better get on his good side. And he's moving in. I'm just standing out front with my truck. And after a few minutes, as he's walking back and forth to the moving truck, he goes, don't I know you? And I said, I don't think so. I don't know. Where you play any Pop Warner football? No. What'd you play? I played Little League over Toluca Lake, Little League. No, it's not that. I don't know. You went to North Hollywood High? No. I don't know. We fought, man.
Oh, like, no.
What? Yeah. So we fought out in the street. When was that? It's about 9 years ago. Like, you're moving into my village? The guy's been doing nothing but creatine shakes ever since we fought out in the street. I was like, oh my God. But I realized he was scared of me because I was the madman who got hit with the bat and the bottle and it didn't bother him. So he was clearly scared of me, but it was weird. He brought it up to me and he was not, it wasn't forgive and forget. We didn't have a laugh about it. He was just like, okay, that's right. And we went into the building. I moved out several weeks later, and the story continues. So there it is, full circle. Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome. He was still scared of you.
Well, maybe that was it, but at that point, he'd put on 50 pounds of muscle, and I was now frightened of him. All right, Ray, thank you for corroborating my story.
That was a good story.
Thanks, buddy.
I know Ray doesn't like it when we play the monkey sound. When he comes on, he's offended by that.
He takes umbrage to it.
But yeah. I want to give that story 2 opposable thumbs up. Sorry, Ray.
Well, there's one down, and there's only another 45 to go. So we'll be going through those.
The bar is high.
And the good news is
as
I've said before, like how they paint the Golden Gate Bridge, by the time we get to the last story, it's time
Start
to
over.
Retell this one.
Yep.
All right, Bill Simmons. The sports guy from ESPN.com. He's in for another installment of something we call Basic Cable Classics. Red Dawn is the latest movie he's going to review. We'll do that after this.
6-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Adam, Dave, and ESPN.com's Bill Simmons review another Basic Cable Classic. This week's movie, Red Dawn.
Wolverine!
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome, Bill Simmons, the sports guy.
Good to be here.
Quickly, some unfinished business.
Yeah.
Tiffany says she used to date Terry Mosier, the guy who hit me with the baseball bat.
Oh.
Tiffany?
Yeah?
What's happening?
He was out in the valley.
Yeah. That's where my knee was when he hit it with his back.
I know. I heard. No, he's out in the valley, I think, like, what's that past Sagebrush? Like Thousand Oaks or something? He's married with a couple kids.
Wow. Hope he's teaching them how to use a softball bat on other human beings.
Tiffany, was he sweet to you?
Oh, he is. You know what? He is hilarious, and he's one of the sweetest, nicest guys in the world.
Did he ever tell you about the time he hit me with a bat?
No, Terry has crazy stories.
Yeah.
Crazy stories.
Well, when did you date him? I mean, didn't, like, the guys ever sit around and the man show came on and he was like, hey, I think I attacked that guy with a bat once.
No, he had plenty of fighting stories, but I don't think they involved you. I don't know.
When did you guys...
You weren't on the radio then, I don't think. I don't know where you were.
When did...
8 years ago, but we're still best friends.
Mm-hmm. You and the bat, or you and Terry?
Terry.
All right.
Well, Terry and I.
Well, tell him to call. He owes me an apology. He owes my orthopedic surgeon an apology, actually.
I'll tell him. He's a captain out there flying private jets.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See, these are the guys now that are captaining the airplanes, that are the principals of the schools.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Tiffany is an easy laugh. She's almost like Lycus.
All right, Tiffany. But he told you a lot of stories about fighting and past crazy behavior.
Tons of stories, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Well, all including alcohol.
All right. Well, that's fit. Thank you, Tiffany.
Yeah. I'll give you a shout.
Thanks.
Ace, if that happened to you now, he would probably be suing you.
That's right.
Because your knee hit his bat.
It's a good, right. It's a good point.
Remember, like, with Barkley, he got attacked by five guys and ended up defending himself, and he got sued for, like, $4 million?
It was a simpler time. Yes, I mean, can you imagine the lawsuits? Oh, but not to mention him, I'd probably then countersue him for, in fact, attacking me with a baseball bat. I guess even during the time, I probably could have got some legal representation to back me up. But anyway,
while you settle matters with your fists, Simmons and I do it the old-fashioned way in fantasy football. We settled our score just last night.
And that was the story of Adam in a street fight. All right, that'll do it for Corolla Classics. If people want to hear the full episodes of the podcast clips we played, Gio, where do they go?
Podcast One Premium, the home of all your favorite podcasts. The entire 10-plus years of the Adam Carolla Show podcast can be found there. The very first episode with Adam, the most recent episode that just aired from you guys live in Kentucky. If you want to hear any of the clips we played, you can hear the full versions from that Podcast One Premium feed and all the different files you can find there. Or if there's something you want us to play, let us know. We will go in and we'll find a clip from that archive and we'll play it for you on the show.
Oh, yeah. All right. We'll see you tomorrow on the Corolla Classics feed. I can't wait. We got a great show.
We do.
Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Super Fan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get it on.